ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Hare Krishna. So I would like to welcome everyone on this most auspicious day of Gita Jayanti, Mokshada Ekadashi. Mokshada, moksha means liberation and da means the giver. This Ekadashi is actually Mokshada Ekadashi. Also very significant because Krishna spoke the Gita on this very day. In Kurukshetra, there is this beautiful place we visited many years ago. And there is a beautiful banyan tree. It is the descendant of that very same banyan tree under which Krishna spoke the Gita. There is a beautiful memorial that has been erected. Krishna driving the chariot and speaking to Arjuna. So, I would like to begin with the words of Arjuna, who first heard the Gita directly from the lotus mouth of Krishna. But after some time, Krishna departed from this world, wound up his leela and left this world. And Arjuna was in deep separation and was crying and practically bewildered, confused. And at that time, again, he took shelter of the words of the Lord. And then, what was the result? Arjuna himself is saying, and Shukadeva Goswami is confirming to Maharaj Parikshit in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I would like to read just a smaction of that paragraph before we go ahead with today's presentation. This is Arjuna is speaking. Deshakalartha yuktani hrittapo pashamani cha haranti smaratas chittam govinda abhihitani me. Now I am attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the personality of Godhead Govinda because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Herein Arjuna refers to the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita which was imparted to him by the Lord on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. The Lord left behind him the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita not for the benefit of Arjuna alone but also for all time and in all lands. The Bhagavad Gita being spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the essence of all Vedic wisdom. It is nicely presented by the Lord Himself for all who have very little time to go through the vast Vedic literatures like the Upanishads, Puranas and Vedanta Sutras. It is put within the study of the great historical epic Mahabharata which was especially prepared for the less intelligent class, namely the women, the laborers and those who are worthless descendants of the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and higher classes, sections of Vaishyas. The problem which arose in the heart of Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra was solved by the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. Again, after the departure of the Lord from the vision of earthly people, when Arjuna was face to face with being vanquished in his acquired power and prominence, he wanted again to remember the great teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, just to teach all concerned that the Bhagavad Gita can be consulted in all critical times, not only for solace from all kinds of mental agonies, but also for the way out of great entanglements which may embarrass one in some critical hour. The merciful Lord left behind him the great teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, so that one can take the instructions of the Lord even when he is not visible to material eyesight. Material senses cannot have any estimation of the Supreme Lord, but by his inconceivable power, the Lord can incarnate himself to the sense perception of the conditioned souls in a suitable manner through the agency of matter, which is also another form of Lord's manifested energy. Thus, the Bhagavad Gita or any authentic scriptural sound representation of the Lord is also the incarnation of the Lord. There is no difference between the sound representation of the Lord and the Lord Himself. One can derive the same benefit from the Bhagavad Gita as Arjuna did in the personal presence of the Lord. The faithful human being who is desirous of being liberated from the clutches of material existence can very easily take advantage of the Bhagavad Gita, and with this in view, the Lord instructed Arjuna as if Arjuna were in need of it. And Shukadeva Goswami says, after Arjuna remembered the instructions of the Lord, what happened? Because of his possessing spiritual assets, the doubts of duality were completely cut off. Thus, he was freed from the three modes of material nature and placed in transcendence. There was no longer any chance of his becoming entangled in birth and death, for he was freed from material form. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, today we are going to discuss the chapters 7 to 10. We're supposed to discuss from 10 to 12, but 7 to 12, which is the middle section. But then after seeing in the morning how the devotee wanted to, speak so much, they felt themselves restrained. And then we decided, why not give an opportunity? And after all, Gita Jayanti is there in 2 days. Let people hear nicely. It's like a very compact package, You can fluff it out. Packaged cotton. Bhagavad Gita is like a cotton comprehensive pack. If you fluff it out, it can fill this room. And if you compress it, it can be put in a matchbox. Once Prabhupada told one of his disciples, Dhananjay, he said, if you can't speak the whole Gita in 2 minutes, then what is the use? If someone gives you only 2 minutes, suppose somebody is dying in 2 minutes, says, please speak Bhagavad Gita. Sorry, sir, at least 2 days. No, I have only 2 minutes. Forget it. No, an expert devotee is he who can present. Maharaj Parikshit heard the whole Bhagavatam for 7 days and 7 nights. But when he was about to depart, his mother came, Uttara came and asked him, can you give me the essence of what you have heard? And he spoke within just 2 hours, the Brihad Bhagavatamrutam. He digested it, completely chewed, understood, relished, realized, and then according to time, place and circumstance, he presented it as much as necessary according to the need. That's the expertise. However, since devotees here are also eager to hear and devotees are also eager to speak, why not churn out the nectar? So much nectar. Actually, we can speak for hours together on one verse. 4 lectures, I remember speaking on 4 kinds of people who don't surrender. Moodha, Naradhama, Maya Aparta Jnana, Asuram Bhavam Ashrita. And 4 kinds of people who surrender to Krishna. So 8 sessions went like that. So 2 verses. Anyway, time is short and crisply we will try to present the this particular section. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, chapter, Bhagavad Gita has 18 chapters. First 6 talk about karma. The last 6 talks about jnana. and the middle six talk about bhakti. Now, Srila Prabhupada expresses, quoting Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, why the Lord placed the middle six chapters in the middle. Bhakti in the middle. Actually, bhakti is the conclusion of the whole Gita. Generally, authors place their conclusion in the end. But why has Krishna put the middle six chapters, the bhakti section, right in the middle? He gives two reasons, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. He says, first is, a very intelligent man protects his treasure by keeping it in the center of his house, right? You take a box, you buy a very thick locker, which have thick walls, then you open and keep the thing in the center. You don't keep your treasure near the window, outside near the veranda. Right? It's right in the center of the house, put in a nice locker, safe deposit locker. So, to protect the bhakti, the essence, jnana is kept on one side and karma is kept, and in the middle is kept this. Very safe. Just like one devotee was expressing how the brain is kept under the skull. Heart and brain, they are two important structures. Legs are not kept under, you know, unless when it is broken, you are put under, you know, plaster. But the heart is so important, it's put in a rib cage. The brain is so important, blood-brain barrier, and then the skull, and then so many layers. Very important things to protect them, they are put right at the center and covered on the sides. So that's one of the reasons why chapters 7 to 12, the center part of the Gita, are kept in the center. Secondly, bhakti is the essence of jnana and karma. So they have to be in touch with bhakti. If bhakti was in one corner, either jnana or karma would be left out. It won't touch bhakti. So make sure that bhakti gives its association to both karma and jnana to make it complete and perfect. Bhakti has been put in the center. Karma is useless, waste of time. Shramayeva hi kevalam. If it does not give rise to bhakti. Jnana is shushka, dry, philosophical speculation. If it doesn't, bahunam janmanamante jnanavan mam prapadyate. If it doesn't lead to ultimately surrendering to Krishna with love and devotion. So therefore, generally when I speak to Maharashtrian audience, I give the example of their favorite eatable, vada pav. Immediately they are able to realize. He says, they have two pav and right in the center is the essence, vada. So to protect that, you have to have this two pav on two sides. So this is Krishna's transcendental vada pav offered to Arjuna. So, we will discuss the four chapters, 7, 8, 9 and 10. Now, I would just put down for your benefit, because we may discuss sometimes quickly, sometimes jump important verses and may... Every verse is important, but we may emphasize certain things today. Therefore, I've just given the breakup of the verses. Now, before that, Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. I would like to give the connection. This morning we heard the conclusion of the sixth chapter, the karma section, where after discriminating from the body and the soul, in the second chapter, and giving a summary of the whole Gita in the second chapter, Sthita Pragyasaka, what is the nature of the perfected soul in the second chapter. Third chapter, karma was discussed. Fourth chapter, transcendental knowledge. This knowledge, where has it come from? The Lord Himself is explaining how this knowledge came down. What is the benefit of this knowledge? And then in the fifth chapter, karma sannyas. And then in the sixth chapter, he spoke about the Ashtanga Yoga process, controlling of the mind, etc. But then after speaking about all these sections, in the concluding verses, two verses, he says, this is just a springboard. Now I want you to stand on it and dive. He concludes the sixth chapter by saying, this whole section, first section by saying, tapasvibhyo adhiko yogi, jnanibhyo pi matodhikaha, karmibhyascha adhiko yogi, tasmad yogi bhava Arjuna. Arjuna, I want you to become a yogi. A yogi means a person who can link up with the Lord. This is the ultimate perfection of life. If someone asks you, what is the essence of the Gita? Depends. If you have 3 minutes, you can speak in a different way. If you have only 2 minutes, you can speak in a different way. If you have 3 minutes, I'll take 3 minutes. The Bhagavad Gita gives 5 topics. That's all. Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala and Karma and their interrelationship. That's all Gita is all about. The complete science of God. What is his position? What is his nature? This complete science of the soul. How is he in qualitatively one, but quantitatively insignificant, completely under the control of the Lord, having little freedom to actually meant to surrender. The science of material nature, especially the 3 modes of material nature, Prakriti. Then Kala, the time factor and the space, how this affects the living entities, the material nature in this world. And finally, karma or activity. And how the Lord is completely controlling all the other 4 and he is above all this control. That's all. Anyone who knows this 5 knows the Bhagavad Gita fully. Karma, akarma, vikarma, prescribed duties, prohibitions and transcendental activities. How can you be in the world but not become of the world? If you still want to cut short the Bhagavad Gita and speak it only in 2 minutes, somebody asks you when you are distributing Gita, Gita mein kya likha hai? Samay nahi, ek minute mein bolo. To padho. If someone wants to know, the essence is, Krishna says in the 15th chapter, 15th verse, Vedaischa sarvair ahameva vedyo. Essentially it is to know Krishna. Krishna means along with his energies, inferior energy and superior energy and tatastha, internal energy, external energy, marginal energy, sambandha, avideya and prayojan. 3 knowledge, that's all. Sambandha, who is the Lord? Who am I? What's my relationship? What is this material world? What is its relationship with the Lord? Sambandha jnana. Next is, how to revive that sambandha? How? We have lost our relationship. We have forgotten. It's not lost. The relation is there, but we have forgotten. How to revive that relationship? And thirdly, why to revive? What is the purpose? Prayojana jnana. Sambandha, abhideya, prayojana. That's all. Bhagavan sambandha bhakti abhideya hoy. Prema prayojana vede tina vastu koi. The whole Vedic scripture, essence of which is the Gita, talks about these 3 principles. Sambandha jnana, knowledge of relationship between the Lord and everything else and his energies. Abhideya, how to revive that relationship. And prayojana, why should we revive that relationship? And that is predominantly brought out in these middle 6 chapters from 7 to 12. So, tasmad yogi, become a yogi Arjuna. Because the position of yogi is higher than a tapasvi, an ascetic. Aradhito yadi haris tapasatatakim. If you are performing devotional service, you don't need to do any other tapasya. The greatest tapasvi is a yogi, a devotee. Na aradhito yadi haris tapasatatakim. If you are not worshipping Krishna, what is the use of tapasya? Even Hiranyakashipu and Ravana did tapasya. But it only increased their false ego. They wanted some mystical power. Jnani bhyopi mato adhikaha. It is higher than knowledge. In fact, it is the conclusion of all knowledge. Karmibhyascha adhiko yogi. Mere ritualistic performance of activities without understanding why we are doing what we are doing, for whose pleasure and satisfaction, it becomes simply a waste of time. Shramayeva hi kevalam. Therefore, and nowhere in that particular verse Krishna says, bhaktyo, bhaktyadhiko. He never says that. And then in the next verse, to reaffirm that thing, he says, yoginam api sarvesham, of all the yogis, madgaten antaratmana, one who meditates, one who abides by me, thinks of me within the core of his heart. When will you think? When you have love. Unless you love someone, you can't think of him 24 hours a day. Shraddhavan bhajate yomam, one who worships me, serves me. This is another wonderful contribution in the parampara of Srila Prabhupada. By Srila Prabhupada in parampara. What is that? Bhakti he translated as devotional service. Generally people define bhakti as devotion, just some kind of a sentiment. No, it is not sentimentality. It is activity based on real sentiments. Loving sentiments. Based on truth. So, Shraddhavan bhajate yomam, one who worships me and serves me with faith, same yukta tamo matah, in my opinion, he is the highest. Actually, in the whole Bhagavad Gita, there are only three things. Bhakti, Bhagavan and Bhakta. There is nothing else. Sometimes people criticize, aapke Prabhupada ji to har jagah bhakti dal dete, ashtang yog mein bhi bhakti dal dete, karma kaam hai usme bhi bhakti dal dete, superimposition of bhakti on every, no, it is not. If two drunkards meet, what will they discuss? If two lusty people meet, what will they discuss? Similarly, when the Lord and the devotee, Bhakta and Bhagavan, meet, what do they discuss? Only bhakti. Nothing else. It is simply bhakti. In every chapter, there is nothing but bhakti. That is why Srila Advaita Acharya was always speaking about bhakti. One verse, somehow he couldn't understand how it is related to bhakti. He fasted for 3 days. Lord Chaitanya had to appear and said, you eat food now, I'll reveal to you later. And then he revealed in the Mahaprakash Lila. Remember Advaita? You fasted for 3 days just because in one verse of the Gita, you couldn't see the connection of bhakti. It is simply bhakti. It's nothing but that. Only the great acharyas can extract bhakti where it is not visible to us. Ignorant people who have no devotion within the heart. Even when there is bhakti, we can't see bhakti there. Hiranyakashipu couldn't see Lord even when the Lord appeared. Narsingadev also, he thought, some weird looking animal. But Prahlad, because he was devotee, he could see the Lord everywhere, including in the pillar. Therefore, we need a devotee of the Lord to extract and show Krishna where seemingly, apparently, we can't see. Because eventually, there is nothing but bhakti everywhere. Everything is in connection with the Lord. So, now, in the 7th chapter, because he said, the highest thing is to develop faith, service in faith, loving service in faith. Now, without knowledge, one may doubt Krishna's position. How can you have faith if you don't have solid knowledge? And therefore, in chapter 7 to 12, Krishna presents the knowledge of himself. The Lord is speaking about himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead to inspire and strengthen bhakti. Anyone who hears the 6 chapters with faith and devotion will surely attain devotional service. That's Krishna's guarantee. And especially in the 7.1, as we're going to discuss, that is going to highlight this. So these are the breakup. Just briefly for those who are interested to scrutinizingly, analytically, logically, systematically, scientifically study Bhagavad Gita for their benefit. Next. So these are the breakup, how these, all the different sections within the chapter. We'll take one by one. Now, in the first three verses, especially the first verse, is really very important. Krishna says, Maya sakta manah partha yogam yunjan madashrayah asamshayam samagram mam yatha gyasyasi tat shrunu. The Supreme Personality of God is Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Now hear, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. We are all doubting souls. We always doubt. To remove the doubt, the Lord is personally speaking about himself. So, in fact, Srila Prabhupada, the most spoken verse of the Bhagavad Gita on which he has given lecture is this 7.1. Maximum number of lectures of Srila Prabhupada on the whole 700 verses of the Gita is 7.1. He would generally, wherever he would go, he would generally speak on this verse. Maya asakta manah partha. So we should develop attachment. Asakta manah. How? Yogam yunjan. And we should engage in serving. Madashraya. And we should take shelter. When will that happen? Attachment, service and shelter of Krishna. When will we take? Asamshayam. When we know Krishna without any doubt. And how will we know Krishna without any doubt? That actually the Lord is existing. He is a person. He loves us. Yatha gyasyasi tat shrunu. By hearing. Hearing is the most important. Asamshayam. With full faith. When we hear this with proper faith, then we can develop this knowledge and all doubts will be removed. It is very interesting. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada writes the Srimad Bhagavatam verse, Shrinvatam Sakatha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanaha Hradyantastohi Abhadrani Vidhunoti Sahritsatam Shrinvatam Swakatha Krishna Krishna Katha. Spoken by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, spoken about Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially these two books, Gita and Bhagavat. Shrinvatam Swakatha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanaha. There is no other pious activity more pious than this. Because by hearing, which is the first of the nine, Navada Bhakti, actually direct relationship with the Lord is established. This hearing is non-different from associating with Krishna. You are experiencing and touching and experiencing Krishna through your ears, if we have proper attitude to hear this message. Srila Prabhupada had full faith in this particular verse and in the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. And at the end, bhidyate hridaya granthihi chidyante sarva samshaya kshiyante chasya karmani drishta evatmanishwari. Bhidyate hridaya granthi. All material entanglement, I am the body and everything is me and mine. It will be smashed. These knots will be disentangled. And chidyante sarva samshaya. All doubts will go away. Kshiyante chasya karmani. And material reactions will come to an end. Drishtaye vatmanishvare. When you see Krishna face to face, by hearing about him, by knowing that Krishna is absolute, his words are non-different from him. Srila Prabhupada, on his Jaladuta, he wrote these verses amidst his prayers. My Lord, I don't know why you have brought me, but my Guru Maharaj has asked me to go and speak. But I have faith in the words of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he quoted, right in the middle of those beautiful poems, when he had established nothing, but he had full faith that if they continue to hear, धीर होए सुने यदि बार बार, धीर होए सुने यदि बार बार, इफ दे जस्ट हियर दिस मैसेज. श्रील प्रभुपाद वॉज रेडी टू ओपन ए हॉस्टल विच विल सर्व मीट इफ नेसेसरी टू अट्रैक्ट पीपल टू कम एंड स्टे इफ दे हियर दिस मैसेज बिकॉज ही हैड फेथ. रजस्तमो गुणे एरा सवाय अछन्न, दे आर कवर्ड बट आई हैव फेथ. नष्ट प्रायेशो भद्रेशु नित्यम भागवत सेवा तथा रजस्तमो भाव काम लोभादेश. ही हैड फेथ इन दिस वर्सेस, फुल फेथ दैट इफ दे हियर विथ लिटिल सिंसियरिटी, लिटिल फेथ, लिटिल ईगरनेस, एवरीथिंग विल बी क्लेंस्ड फ्रॉम देयर हार्ट. ऑल द कंटेमिनेशंस विल गो अवे, डाउट्स विल डिसिपेट एंड फेथ विल इमर्ज. एंड दैट फेथ विच इज इन ए सीड फॉर्म विल इवेंचुअली ट्रांसफॉर्म इन टू प्योर लव ऑफ गॉड. एंड वी सी दैट रिजल्ट ऑफ दैट फेथ. And therefore, he presented this message. He used all his life's energy to give this message to us, the whole Gita, simply by hearing it repeatedly. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. The only thing we need to do, he struggled to write these books. The only thing we need to do is read these books. We are so lazy. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Rukmini, she heard from Narada Muni and all the great souls who would come to Vidarbha to visit her father, the king. And she developed so much faith that within the core of her heart, she surrendered her heart completely to Krishna. She wrote a letter. She hadn't seen him. The Dvijapatnis of Mathura, they sacrificed. Sarva dharmaan parityajyamame. They surrendered. They followed the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita. Because they heard from the aborigine tribal women of Braj who would come and sell vegetables. They every day come and speak about Krishna. They were lovers of Krishna. Hearing that, the Dvijapatnis developed so much faith that when Krishna called them, they left everything to surrender to him. This is the proof of hearing. But we have to hear from a proper source. Proper source meaning a genuine devotee of the Lord who has full faith in the process, who is practicing this, who is purified himself. To the extent we hear from a pure source, the pure devotion will manifest. So hearing from a pure source is very important. And secondly, we should hear with a proper attitude. What is that attitude? The attitude is one of faith, one of desperation. Like Parikshit Maharaj, he knew my death is going to come in 7 days. Everything else was kept aside. He put hearing Srimad Bhagavatam as the topmost priority in his life. That eagerness, that desperation, and he heard with full faith. And therefore, within 7 days, he perfected his life. That is the power of this hearing. Vasudeva katha prashna purusham sin punatihi vaktaram prichakam srotram stadpada salilam yatha. Question and answer about Krishna is so purifying. It's like Mother Ganga. Wherever Mother Ganga flows, she purifies all the places, nearby areas, everything she purifies. Similarly, wherever Krishna Katha flows, the inquirer, the speaker, the listeners, everyone is delivered. Parikshit inquired, Shukadeva Goswami spoke, sages of Naimisharanya heard, today we are hearing and we are delivering, we are getting ourselves delivered. Arjuna asked questions, Krishna spoke, the 64 crores of people on the battlefield of Kurukshetra heard. And we continue to hear in that parampara. And we are getting delivered if we hear with the proper attitude as Arjun. So hearing is so important. That is being emphasized in the first verse. And then it says, Jnanam teham savijnanam idam vakshyami asheshataha yajgyatvaneha bhuyonyat gyatavyam avashishyate. I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge both phenomenal and numinous. Thus being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know. Na anyat gyatavyam avashishyate. If we know Krishna, we know everything. There is nothing else that we don't know. And if you don't know Krishna, you may know everything of this world, but you don't know anything. Yasmin vigyate sarvamevam vigyatam bhavati, the Upanishad says. Why? Because knowing Krishna means seeing this world, all right? Seeing, knowing, to know is to see. To see is to know, right? When we see things, we know. We believe, right? What is seeing? To really see means to see everything in connection with its source. If you don't see its connection with the source, you will never know what is it meant for. For example, you are seeing this little finger. Not little finger, forefinger. Right? And it is moving. You may say, oh, I see. But you don't see. Because in and of itself, this finger can't move unless you see its connection with the body. When you see the connection of the finger with the body, you know how it is moving. And you know what is the purpose of this finger. The purpose of the finger, being a part of the body, it should serve the body. What is the use of the finger disconnected from the body? Similarly, to see everything means to see everything in relationship with its source. And when you see everything with its source, you know the purpose of everything. And when you know the purpose of everything, you use that thing for what it is meant for. The whole creation is created for only one purpose. To use it as an opportunity to dovetail it in the Lord's service to perfect our lives. Otherwise, we may know everything, but we don't know anything. Therefore, one who knows Krishna knows everything. Because he knows everything is meant for Krishna. Even though I don't know how this microphone is made, I may not know all the electronics, how it is made, but I know this microphone is meant to glorify Krishna, not myself, like a politician speaking about his own glories. This is the perfect use of this product. What is the use of theoretically knowing how it is made and using it to beat on someone's head? You can use that to put a nail in the wall. You can use the microphone also, or to hit someone on the head. The real purpose of it is actually to utilize, to get out of the cycle of birth and death. Utilize the whole material creation is a facility to be used for Sankirtanam, glorifying the Lord and purifying our existence. That's all. Everything is meant for that purpose. One time, when Srila Prabhupada was speaking like this, one who knows Krishna knows everything. So one person asked a question. So Swamiji, you know everything? Do you know how many windows Empire State Building has? This is the perverted intelligence. Do you know? So Prabhupada looked at him and he said, do you know how many drops of water, how many drops of water are there in a mirage in the desert? What is the use of knowing? What is the use of knowing how many drops are there in the mirage? Because the whole thing is a mirage. It doesn't exist. It's all art, super. It's all illusory. It can't quench your thirst. What is the use of knowing all the detail? The whole material creation, you may do PhD to and the material creation. But if you do not know what it is meant for, what it should be used for, and how to use everything to solve the real problem of our life, what is the use of knowledge? Knowledge is to solve problems. What is the use of all knowledge if it can't solve your problem, the real problem of life, birth, old age, disease and death? But if you know Krishna and see everything in relation with Krishna, you can use everything for glorifying the Lord and purifying one's existence and in the end go back home, back to Godhead. And then Krishna says in the third verse, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatate siddhaye yatatamapi siddhanam kaschid mam veti tatvata. This knowledge is very, very rare, Arjun. Very rare.
What?
Very rare. In Gita Press, if you pay 2 rupees, you get Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, the small booklet like this. The people who memorize this verse, top to bottom, left to right. Why is he saying so rare? Actually, devotional service is so easy. But simultaneously, it is so difficult. So difficult. Pure devotional service is so rare. Because tattvataha, to know Krishna in truth. What does it mean to know Krishna in truth? Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yad jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shadda. To really know Krishna means to know the source, Bhagavan, how he has expanded himself as Paramatma within the whole creation and through his energy as Brahman is all pervading. Anoraniyan mahatomahiyan. And why we should know tattvataha? Because Krishna says in the Gita, janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tattvataha. If you know me in truth, tyaktva deham punar janma naiti. There is no question of birth in this world. You will achieve my perfection. Mameti. You will come to me. Therefore, we should know tattvataha. How should we know tattvataha? Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyaschasmi tattvataha. Only by pure devotional service. Not by any other source. How do we know tattvataha? Tadviddhi pradipatena pariprashtena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnanina tattvadarshinaha. You have to go to a person who has understood the truth. That is a soul in parampara. A devotee in parampara. We discuss in the fourth chapter in the morning. By approaching a person who knows Lord in tattvataha, who gives us the secret of bhakti which can reveal the Lord tattvataha, we can know the Lord tattvataha and then achieve the perfection of life. Therefore, it is so rare. Because to come across such a devotee is so rare. Parikshit Maharaj felt himself so fortunate that at a time I met you, Shukadev Goswami. You don't even visit Grahastha's house for few minutes. You are undetected. You walk like a madman. Nobody detects you. Even if you are walking in front of them, nobody can detect you. People were throwing stones at Shukadev Goswami. And he would go to some householder's place just till the milk was, you know, milking was done of the cows. And he would take a little and go away. And not actually for milk. He was not going for milk. He was simply going to deliver those people. So you are so rare to be seen. What to speak of seeing you, to hear from you. And today you have come here to speak to me for 7 days and 7 nights. Oh, what a good fortune that I have. That such a rare soul which is not to be seen in this world have come and giving so much mercy to me. I am so fortunate. Brahmanda brahmite kono bhagyavanayu. How fortunate are we that we have come across such a great soul as Srila Prabhupada. We have come across his message. We have the facility of his temple where regularly this kind of message is being given. But we may have that good fortune, but do we realize this good fortune? Do we take advantage of this good fortune? Sometimes something is easily available, we may not understand its value. Next, after speaking about hearing, is importance of hearing and the rarity of what is being given to Arjun, now he speaks about knowing Krishna's material and spiritual energies. He speaks about the matter and spirit. Bhumi rapo nalo vayu khammano vidhirevacha ahankar ityamme bhinna. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and ego. These are my separated material energy. Aparem itastvanyam prakritim vidhime param. Then there is a para prakriti, the spirit soul. And then he says, etad yonini bhutani matsthani tyupadharaya aham krishna se jagata prabhava pralayastatha. I am the controller of both. And who is controlling me? Mattah parataram nanyat kinchid asti dhananjaya. Mai sarvamidam protam sutre manigana. There is no truth above and beyond me. Everything is existing upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. It's like you see this. Not this part. Yes. This beautiful garland. Right? You see this beautiful flower strung in the garland. Can any one of you see the string? But any fool, child can understand. There is a string, otherwise how the flowers are put together. So you see all these planets hanging in the hanging in the middle of nowhere. How can they hang like that? Who is holding it? Who is supporting it? Who is making it work? Who is maintaining it? Who is creating it? Who is sustaining it? I don't know. Scientists don't know. Simply speculating. Big blast. Big bang. Big bang. That's not scientific. Big bang caused big disaster. That's all. Big bang never caused beautiful creation. So here it is, clearly. So, in fact, one who knows these three verses knows all knowledge. These four verses. 4, 5, 6, and 7. Then you become master of spiritual science, MSc. If you know 7.4567, Krishna awards you MSc, Master of Spiritual Science. You know what MSc stands for? Real knowledge, matter, spirit, and controller of both. You are a MSc, if you realize this knowledge, of course. One who knows matter, 8 kinds of matter, spirit, who is superior nature, and the sea, the controller of both. He knows things as they are. The whole world, top scientists know only about matter. Not even, only gross matter. Not even they know completely about subtle matter, mind, intelligence and ego. They're so egoistic they can't see. Big mountain right in front of their eyes. They can't see anything beyond. They can't even understand the soul, what to speak of controller of both. But Krishna says it so clearly, simply in the Gita. Just hear and you will understand everything. Then, in 8 to 12, Krishna speaks how he is the essence of everything. Rasoham apsukaunteya, I am a taste of water. Prabhasmi shashisuryayo, I am the sunlight of the sun. Pranamah sarvavedeshu, I am the sound, Omkara. Of all the Vedas, Shabda Khe, I am the sound in ether, Paurusham Nishu, I am the ability in man, Punyo Gandha Prithivyamcha, I am the original fragrance of earth. This is the way we can understand how Krishna is there in everything. Rasoham Apsukam Deshila Prabhupada said, if you realize this, you will become Krishna conscious 24 hours a day. Every time you go out in the sun, Prabhasmi Shashisuryo. If you see, every time you drink water, even if it is Bisleri water, or whatever water, BMC water, I am the taste of that water. Only the taste satisfies. I remember many, many years ago, most compassionate soul, our Radhishyam Prabhu, we were going by jeep and we stopped at one institution. And as he was coming out, we all came out of that institution. We wanted to sit there. And he ran to the water cooler. And he took out a pen and wrote down on the water cooler, Rasoham Apsukaunteya. I was feeling so compassionate. He's reminding people, everyone who is drinking that water, thirsty people, only their physical thirst is quenched. But Radhishyam Prabhu was so merciful. Their spiritual thirst, which they don't know is there, he was trying to quench it by reminding them of Krishna. I am the taste of water. He is the essence of all. He is the source of everything that exists. Once you know he is the source of all, once you know he is the essence of all, everything is under his jurisdiction. How can you ever forget him? We just can't forget him. And once you know he's the source of all, once you know he's the essence of all, naturally you realize his greatness. And you and we realize our insignificance, and naturally we want to surrender. Isn't it? When you go in front of someone big, it's so natural to surrender. But four kinds of people don't surrender. Krishna is telling that also in advance. Don't expect every time you give Bhagavad Gita, that fellow has a halo around the head, surrenders to Krishna and starts chanting 16 rounds. No, not everyone will be like that. First time I came to Krishna consciousness, I was so happy. I thought, boss, everyone I meet, they have to become devotee now. Because it's so simple. We are not the body, we are the soul. Krishna is God. We have to surrender, chant Hare Krishna. Message is so simple, but the point is, we are not so simple. People aren't so simple. Since time immemorial, remaining in the material world, they have become so twisted that even a straightforward thing cannot get inside. It's very difficult. So, next. Krishna says, I control the modes. The three modes of nature, I control. Like a puppeteer, he is moving everything. Why don't we simply? Prabhupada said, Nachao, Nachao, Prabhu, Nachao se mate, kashtira putali jata. Just like a puppet, I want to dance to your tune, my Lord, as Jesus said, thy will be done, not my will. I want to simply dance to your instructions. Because you are the controller anyway, why should I dance independently? It's so simple. And Krishna says, anyone who surrenders to me is actually transcends this material world. He says, if you simply know all this, the natural resultant of knowing this is to surrender to him. And what is the benefit of surrendering? Daivi hi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. Very difficult to transcend, cross this three modes of nature, trigunatmaka. But mam eva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite, very easily they are able to cross over. Sometimes people ask, Prabhuji, how to become serious devotee? I often find, you know, very sincere people ask this question. So, you read this. If you want to know who is serious devotee, 7.14 Bhagavad Gita. Daivi esha gunamai mama maya. It is very difficult to get out of material nature. Maya is not so simple. Prabhuji, I have conquered lust and anger and greed. Only envy is left little. People feel like that. Huh? No problem. That means you are in big illusion. That is the fifth one. Envy, anger, greed, illusion. If you think you have overcome three, that means you are in the fourth one. It's not so easy. So take Maya seriously. A serious devotee takes Maya seriously. Maya is not so easy. Mama Maya Duratyaya. Very difficult. Even powerful demigods are influenced by the three modes. But if you take Maya too seriously, we may go into depression. We may become a psychiatric case. So therefore, Mam eva ye prapadyante maya. The only way to get out of maya is surrender to Krishna eva. Only Krishna. So take surrender to Krishna seriously. That is a serious devotee. So serious devotee is one who takes maya seriously. And if you take maya seriously, you know the only way to get out of maya is to take Krishna seriously. Only if you take Krishna seriously and not maya seriously, you will become proud. That means you will become a puppet in the hands of maya. Don't take any one of them seriously. You have to take both of them seriously. Srila Sachinandan Maharaj is from Germany. He used to tell a very nice story. How Maya Devi is controlled. She is an obedient servant of Krishna. When he was small, Sachinandan Maharaj, when he was very small, his father, though he be a big man, he used to make his children earn some money on their own effort, so they realized the value of money. So Maharaj would, when he is as a boy, he would go to throw newspapers in, you know, people's home just to get money, pocket money. And every day he would go early morning by cycling, and he would throw newspapers. But there was one man who was very particular. He says, don't throw the newspaper. You have to open the gate, come and keep it on the table in the veranda. That was his instruction. And this man had a huge German Alsatian dog in his home. And when this dog would bark, Maharaj as a boy would get his heart skip a beat, you know. Really kind of heart attack. So, every day, early in the morning, just before he woke up, he would see a dream. He's going, opening the gate, and suddenly the dog is jumping and the chain is released, and he would wake up. So, anyway, he would wake up and then somehow go. And one day, he went to that house, opened the, he said, it was like a horse. This dog was as good as a horse. And his barking would go at least for three, crossroads. They could hear. Like thundering of cloud. So one day Maharaj opened the dog was sleeping next to that. And his chain and the dog would come as much till the table like this. If the table is here, his dog mouth would come till here. So he had to somehow keep and then run away. And one day he opened the gate, and halfway he had walked to the table when he realized the dog had no chain. And suddenly the dog, you know, raised his ear and eye. Oh, he just leaped at him. And he was halfway, almost reaching the table. So he knew for sure, I can't run faster than this fellow. And before I reach the gate, he will tear me to pieces. And it's a fact. There was no only, you know, binary system. Other than his master, anyone he saw, he would tear them apart. And he almost jumped. He ran with full speed. And the dog also ran with full speed. And about to tear him apart. Literally hold his hand and tear him apart. When that master appeared. And he just looked at the dog and said, Bosky, come on. And suddenly this huge, fierce looking dog. And he sat at the feet of Sachinandan Maharaj, the boy, started licking his feet. And Sachinandan Maharaj was looking. Such a relief. He was telling, it is like this. We against Maya. We have no hope. But if Krishna tells Maya, shh, Maya, keep quiet, he's my man. Then Maya will say, go ahead. Boss has told you, isliye chhod diya tujhe. So, mama maya duratyaya, mameva ye prapadyante, maya metam tarantide. Sachinandan Maharaj is very graphic in his descriptions, you see. You can never forget the examples that he gave. So, and then Krishna talks about who doesn't surrender and who are the people who surrender. He says, four kinds of men never surrender. Namam duskritino mudhaha prapadyante naradhama maya apahrita jnana asuram bhavam ashritaha. Duskriti. Kriti means meritorious work. Very intelligent people. Meritorious work. To rob a bank, you need a very intelligent man. A mentally retarded person can't rob a bank. To have a big terrorist attack, you have to plan for weeks and weeks and months probably. Not a simple thing. But Dushkriti. Kriti, a very great work, but misdirected, Dushkriti. So there are four kinds of perverted intelligence. Intelligent people who never surrender. Mudha. The first is a mudha. Mudha means fool, an ass. Now why is ass? Poor fellow, a nice person. Why is he considered gadha? Why do we say gadha? Because it carries so much burden for the washerman. And the washerman gives him some grass at the end of the day, which is available on the street side. And the donkeys are never tied by... They stay. They stay with the washerman years and years. They can simply run away and eat that same grass available everywhere. But they say, no, 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 no. Very bright prospects. Mudha. So much endeavor for just basic maintenance. Sometimes they are working so hard, they have no time. I've seen little dabba like this they carry. I'm surprised. After I came to devotional service, at least one, my intake increased 2-3 times. I couldn't believe I could eat so much. But then I see people carrying the little dabba, made early in the morning, eaten late afternoon. So much struggle, so much working hard, just for that little thing. So you can't enjoy that. You become a stranger to your own people at home, because you are so busy day to morning to evening and want to success and climb the ladder of success. And on top of the ladder you realize you are so lonely. In the process you have missed out your precious years of life. Neglected the family, they have become strangers. And then they wonder, whom did I work for? Who is my master? Whose pleasure am I working for? Mudha. Foolish. So absorbed. No time to think also of these things. They have no time. Prapadyante naradhama. Nara adhama. Nara. Nara means human being. Human being is meant for self-realization. But adhama means lowest of mankind. Why? Because they have no samskara. They don't understand what is the goal of life. Because of lack of understanding, they are so fallen, uncivilized. They don't understand what is the real goal of life. So, even though politically and socially they may be very refined, civilized people, their language, their the way they disposition, may be very refined, civilized. But their consciousness is totally animalistic. They have no understanding of what is the goal of life. Naradhama. And even when knowledge is given to them, they don't want to accept. They don't want to hear. They don't want to accept with faith. Maya aparita jnana. Then there are philosophers, scientists, so-called philosophers, so-called scientists, so-called administrative heads, political leaders. Educationists. But actually they don't know. Real political head are the kings who are Rajarishis. They know on behalf of the Lord they rule. Real philosophers are like Vyasadev and Valmiki Rishi, who glorify, use that philosophy, use that poetry, etc., literary work in glorification of the Lord to purify the hearts of people. But so-called scientists. Lord Kapila was a great scientist. He gave the science of Sankhya. Complete scientific analysis of the atom, of the world, of how to deal with things. This is real scientists, philosophers, politicians. But otherwise, if you take away Krishna from them, their understanding is not there. They have no faith, they don't surrender. And therefore, their plans, as we will discuss in the 9th chapter, if we have time, are all futile. And asuram bhavashrita, outright atheistic. They understand all these things, but they just are stubborn. So egoistic that they say, no, if everyone is accepting, I won't accept. आई एम जरा हटके हूं मैं, आई वॉन्ट बी समथिंग स्पेशल, समथिंग डिफरेंट. यू आर नॉट डिफरेंट, यू आर लाइक सेम परंपरा ऑफ हिरण्यकशिपु एंड हिरण्याक्ष. यू आर नथिंग डिफरेंट, यू कांट बी डिफरेंट. देयर आर 84 लाख स्पीशीज, यू कांट बी 84.1. ऑल नमूनाज आर ऑलरेडी देयर. इट इज सिंपली हूज परंपरा यू वॉन्ट टू फॉलो. एवरी वन हैज देयर ओन रेस्पेक्टिव महाजन्स. You want to go? Go to their hostel or go to their rooms and see their pictures on the wall. They are their Mahajans. You know who are they following. It's very simple. Asuram Bhavam Ashrita. So these are the four people who don't surrender. And we see philosophers like Darwin, philosophers like poets like, you know, who have done so much damage to society and are given very, very prestigious awards for disturbing and spoiling the plan of the Lord and going against, to be slapped by the law of nature, to come back eventually, ultimately, bow down. If not like this, like this. If not belly down, back down. Eventually they die. You have to fall flat. Pro or con, whatever, whichever way. Chaturvidha bhajante mam. Then Krishna says, four kinds of people surrender unto me. जना सुकृति नो अर्जुना आर्तो जिज्ञासु अर्थार्थी ज्ञानी च भरतर्षभ. हु आर दिस फोर काइंड्स ऑफ पीपल हु सरेंडर? आर्तः, आर्तः मीन्स डिस्ट्रेस्ड. अर्थार्थी, सीकिंग सम मटेरियल बेनिफिट्स, गिव मी दिस, गिव मी दैट, गिव मी दैट, दे कम विद अ लिस्ट ऑफ डिमांड्स. आर्तो जिज्ञासु, जिज्ञासु मीन्स इनक्विजिटिव. Why are you dancing like this? Why do you put this tilak? Why do you? What is your belief? Who is Krishna? There are so many others. Why Krishna only? So inquisitive. Read this. Read this, you will know. And jnani. One in knowledge who understands what is to be done. So we find most of the people who come belong to the artha category. Artha means distressed. Mostly. In Kali Yuga especially. Beaten by Maya and other. Yahan kuch hai kya? Kuch milega? Nicely beaten. Kuch malam milega lagane ke liye. Yes, chant Hare Krishna. Oh, achha, achha, achha. But once the distress is gone, they are also gone. That is the problem. So superficial. They want something, they got it, they finished. Some people come for business contacts. Yeah, achhe log aate hain, haan. Hare Krishna, tilak laya, kanthi mala. And sure enough, they got good contacts, their business prospers, and they have no time. They come once in Janmashtami to give some donation and tell, please don't stop my business, bas. Artharthi. You, ye yathama, whatever you come, Krishna will give. It's amazing thing is, whoever comes for whatever reason, Krishna is so merciful, he gives them what he wants. But simultaneously, artho, jigyasu, jigyasu, if you come with inquisitiveness, your questions will be solved. But after solving, are you going to act upon those instructions? Or now I am solved, now I look for something fresh and new. And they go away. It's a fact I have seen. I have seen all these three categories. So many of them, regularly. So perfect Gita talks. But Krishna says, Udaraha sarva evaite. Of course, of all the three, of all the four, and then the fourth is jnani, who knows I am not the body, I am the soul, and I have to come to Krishna to serve him, not to take his service. He is standing there to accept my service with love and devotion. So there is some little selflessness. Most of these are selfish. They come with their own demands, and Krishna supplies what they want. That is not a problem. They are, Krishna says, Udaraha, all these are great souls. At least they have come to the right source. Some distressed people may go to the bar and restaurant. Some may go to some gambling den. At least they are coming to the right place, temple, Sukriti no Arjuna. Because they have some pious credits of the past or some Agyata Sukriti in this life of having served knowingly, unknowingly some great souls. When they are in distress, at least they come to the right place. Therefore, they are called Sukriti no Arjuna. They are Sukriti, they are not Duskriti. They don't take shelter of something temporary. They at least take right shelter at the right person. But after that, once it is solved, they may leave. But if having come for some material problems or some material desires, when the desire is fulfilled, but by the time, if they actually by hearing properly understand that these are all temporary, they'll come and go. But real thing is this stuff. And now I need to take this. Then they also come to the fourth category, that is Jnani. Udara sarvai vaite. They are all broad-minded because they come to the right source, right place. Jnani tvatmaiva me matam. Asitasya yukta atma. Jnani is better because he understands why he should come here. And if such a person, if all of them continue to stay at the feet of the Lord in the association of sincere devotees, then the process of devotional service is so wonderful that it purifies them, brings them into a jnani platform. And then in the later verse, Krishna says, Bahunam janmanamante jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudevam sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. They become a mahatma. They realize Krishna is the source of everything. We have to surrender. And they have faith. Why we keep on troubling him? He will give what we want, when we want, how we want, what we need. It is a faithless child who goes, approaches the father every day. Papa, will I get breakfast tomorrow morning? In the afternoon, will I get my lunch? Evening, I hope you will give me my dinner, mama. You rascal, we will go hungry, but we will give you. Why are you asking like this? You have no faith? No, I just want to confirm. So, he is the Lord. Yogakshemam vahamyaham. I'll protect what you have. I'll supply what you lack. Have faith. He's been giving even to the atheists. Where do they have the power to speak about blasphemy of the Lord? Even that power Krishna is giving them. That intelligence Krishna is giving. Buddhir buddhimatamasmi. Even to atheistic people, Krishna is giving good intelligence, which is being used badly, of course. That strength to go against his will he not give it to his sincere devotees who are trying to come to him, surrender to him, serve him? Somehow. Oh, that's why even Jesus said, "Oh, ye of little faith, how many miracles should I perform? Yeah, have faith. Follow. Everything will be supplied to you. He's been doing it so far. Even without knowing he is doing it. Why, he'll continue to do." And then, in the next few verses, Krishna talks about, okay, four people don't surrender because they have no knowledge and no faith. But then he talks about some kind of people who have some knowledge, little knowledge, and some faith. But because of little knowledge, incomplete knowledge, they want to surrender, but they don't know to whom. And that is described by Krishna. Those who surrender to the demigods, the devatas, and those who are impersonalists, who feel that eventually the Lord is nirguna, nirakar, nirvishesh, sarvavyapi, brahma. Non-dual, all-pervading effulgence. Which is also one aspect of God. That is the first aspect. That's like the sunlight is also from the sun. The sunlight is non-different, but the sunlight is not the sun. So those who have that kind of realization and surrender to the impersonal aspect of the Lord are still actually coming to the right direction, coming in the right direction, but not yet perfected it. So Krishna describes them in the verses between 22. So since they have no full knowledge, complete knowledge, little knowledge, there is imperfect surrender. And they worship the devatas, which is indirect and imperfect, because it's just like bribing the policeman. If policeman does the job, you bribe him. So it's imperfect and that is incomplete. It's not the right. He's a representative, but he's not the ultimate person. We should understand, oh, he's empowered. Okay, we have to respect, but not surrender. Surrender is to Krishna. We respect every living entity. What to speak of the demigods who are representatives of the Lord. Sometimes people misunderstand. You Hare Krishnas, you think every demigod is, you know, your neighbor, that's all. Yeah, apna ye to maloom hai, wo Indra aise hi hai. Chandra aise hi hai. It's not that we are disrespectful. You can't, if you respect the government and slap the constable on the face, you are actually slapping the government, because the government has appointed the constable. The one extreme is to disrespect the representatives while respecting the government of the Lord. Another extreme is going in front of the constable and say, you are SP, you are DSP, you are IGP, and you are the everything for me. Kya chahiye baba? Kyun itna maskabaji kar rahe? Why are you glorifying me artificially so much? Mere adulation. So that's one extreme, to think them, everyone to be equal, or some to be, you know, completely disregarding. That proper balance must be understood. And next is the impersonalists. Who avyaktam vyaktimapannam manyante mam abuddhaya param bhavam ajananto mamavyayam anuttamam. Krishna says, those who think that the Lord is eventually, ultimately impersonal, but now when he descends into this, wahi nirguna nirakar nirvishesh sarvavyapi bhamma, jab saguna sakar bankar aate hain, to Rama Krishna sab bane ho jate hain. I have seen, I have heard Bhagavatam reciters saying this. That is Mayavad. To think Krishna's form, name and activities to be Maya, like you and me. Illusory. No. He has an eternal form. He has unlimited names. And then he says, in the last part, can you go to the next one? So, when we know Krishna fully, then we get liberated. And till we know Krishna completely, as I said, tatvataha, to that extent, to more or less, we are all under illusion, and therefore, the cycle of birth and death will continue. Until and unless 100% we realize the position of the Lord and completely surrender to Him. That is there in the last part. And Krishna says how to get out of this bewilderment and how to achieve freedom. Yesham tu antagatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante mam dridhavrata. Sometimes we may take up the process of devotion service, but we don't stick on, right? Sometimes we fall off. There is no stability. Why? He says two things are required if you want to continue to remain stable and remain determined in Krishna consciousness. Esham tu antagatam papam. Krishna explains this in the 28th verse. He says, persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated are freed from the dualities of delusion and they engage themselves in my service with determination. So, when we have selfish desires, kamaistaiste hritajnana prapadyante anya devata, we surrender to demigods because our mind is confused by lusty desires. Oh, this person can supply vidyarthi labate vidyam, dhanarthi labate dhanam, putrarthi labate putram. So if you want this, you go to this person. You want this, you go to this person. So we keep going to knocking doors and, you know, getting what you want. So many weeks and you get this benefit, which is good. But most of the time the focus is on ourselves. What this person can give me. If someone can offer a better deal, I will leave him and go to this person. So there is no chastity. So, there is a selfish desire. And when our desire, when it is motivated by selfish desire, then we see that individual separate from Krishna. We see things separate from Krishna. Well, somebody can give me something what Krishna can't give me. I'll go to that person. And because of that, because you don't see Krishna as the supreme controller, you think that this is for my enjoyment. And the moment you want to enjoy something, whatever gives you enjoyment, you like it. Whatever doesn't give you enjoyment, you hate it. So there is duality comes in our life. I like it, I don't like it. Heat and cold, honor and dishonor. So these dualities, dvandva, that is the reason why we are in this world. In the absolute world, there is no duality. Everything is absolute. But duality comes when we become the center. When Krishna is the center, everything is absolutely meant for His. Good or bad, heat or cold, honor or dishonor, simply tolerate, continue to serve. It doesn't serve as an obstacle. But when we are duality, selfish motive, automatically dualities come. What benefits me? What won't benefit me? Therefore, yesham tu antagatam papam, one who has given up these kind of sinful activities, basically it is performed willfully, whimsically, without shastric injunctions, and Janaanam punya karmanam, and they have some pious credits, acting piously according to the scriptures. That kind of samskara naturally purifies. And when it is sufficiently accumulated, such a person can remain steadfast in devotional service. Steadfast is not there if enough pious credits are not there, or the sinful reactions are not gone, because they come as anarthas, as obstacles. And therefore, even though we have come to the right place, we may not be able to continue steadfast. So, but by association of pure devotee and following their instructions, even though we may have very bad background, no pious credits whatsoever. The case of Mrigari, the case of Valmiki in his previous life, they had absolutely no qualification. But because they surrendered to the instructions of their guru, Narada Muni, they became great souls eventually. Haridas Thakur met that prostitute because she took it up fully, even though that background was, backlog was there, but everything was burned to ashes by the intensity of devotion. Tivreda Bhakti Yogena, Akama Sarva Kamova, whatever may be the desire, but if the intensity is there, then the past may be burnt away. Or Srila Prabhupada, when he went to the West and his devotees took it up, all kinds of background, from birth and from later earlier conditionings in life. And they asked Srila Prabhupada, what was our qualification that you came here and giving us this? We don't deserve at all. And we had no desire also. We had no desire. We didn't deserve. What qualification did we have that you came amongst us and gave this wonderful process? Srila Prabhupada with all humility said, you had no qualification. I made your qualification. He gave the patra and gave the substance also. Patrata. Patra means a vessel. It's just like, if you want to drink water, you need a glass. So they didn't have a container to hold that mercy. He gave the container and he also gave the mercy. He said, I made that qualification. You had nothing. That was his compassion. Their only qualification was, they took it. They accepted it with a grateful heart. That gratitude is the proper qualification, the only qualification. Prahlad Maharaj says, I was so fallen, I was drowning in the ocean of birth and death. My Guru Maharaj picked me up and placed me at the lotus feet of the Lord. I don't deserve to come to such a place. How can I ever give up his service? How can I leave that position? And how can I ever be proud? So that is the only qualification. If we can have at least that, then steadfastness will come. Anyway, so in this way, this chapter ends. But Krishna, in the last two verses, makes a very technical two shlokas. Speaks two technical shlokas. Probably to inspire Arjun to ask question and start the eighth chapter. He says, Jaramarana mokshaya mama ashritya yatantiye te brahma tad viduh kritsnam adhyatmam karma chakhilam sadhi bhutadi devam mam sadhi yagyam chate vidu prayana kale pichamam te vidur yukta chetasa. For translation, please buy the Bhagavad Gita. If you don't have, something should be kept suspense. The whole classes are to inspire you to buy and distribute Bhagavad Gita. So, Krishna concludes the seventh chapter with six technical terms. Te brahma tadvidu krishnam adhyatmam karma chakhilam sadhi bhutadi adhidaivam mam adhiyagyam chache vidu prayanakale. Too many technical words. So Arjuna says, wait. Let me begin the eighth chapter. He starts the eighth chapter in the first two verses with, you told me all this, but what are they? So he begins the eighth chapter. So, can you go back? 1 minute. Arjuna asks for clarification on these terms, and 8.1 and 2 are these questions. Krishna answers the first seven questions in just two verses. He asked in two verses. Krishna answered in two verses. And in the fifth verse onwards, he picks up on the last and important question. Prayana kale. How at the time of death? What is the perfection? Life is a preparation. Death is the examination. Human life is a preparation. Death is the examination. People are talking about the art of living, but the ultimate art of living is perfecting the art of dying. Such a way, you don't have to take birth again to learn the art of living. No question, no living. Where is the question of art of living? The real art of living is to learn and perfect the art of dying. Life is a preparation. Death is the examination. That is the real art of living. That's what Krishna teaches. How to be in the world, but not become of the world. How to execute all responsibilities, but don't become entangled. When we take responsibility, we become attached. If we are detached, we become irresponsible. Krishna teaches the art of detached responsibility. You should be very responsible in everything that we do. And simultaneously we should be detached. That begins with karma yoga. Karmanya vadikaraste mahaphaleshu kadachana. And ends in sarvadharman parityajamam ekam sharanam braja. I will do what I want. The result is yours, Krishna. But I will do what I want. But eventually the devotee says, I will do what you want and give the result and you use it the way you want. I am simply your insignificant servant, eternal servant. So it's a gradual continuity, I mean continuum from gradual surrender to ultimate surrender. It's a lifetime process. Lifetime's process, bhavunam janmanamante. But by the mercy of devotee and by one's own sincerity, it all depends on how strong is our desire. So, Krishna also talks of how yogis live their life so that they can achieve perfection. Try to achieve perfection at the end of life. And so many criteria they have to fulfill if they have to perfect their lives. But, he says, for a devotee, he doesn't have to make all endeavor. He does his responsibility towards Krishna and Krishna's responsibility is to take him back. He is not concerned. Krishna, I will do what you want. You do what you want. You do. You know what I need. You do it. That faith. And therefore, such a person doesn't worry about, you know, pressing the nose, standing on the head and, you know, leaving the body and taking it through the Brahmarandhra and, you know, taking it out. He says, that's not my problem. I am busy serving you. I have no time to do all this. So Krishna says, okay, because you are serving me, my job is to take you back. However you sit. Even if you are sleeping flat and say, Hare Krishna at the end, Krishna says, okay, Hare Krishna, aja. Easy. And also he talks about yoga nishta, yoga mishra bhakti. You know, through yoga, yoga balena chaiva, by how one can actually elevate the soul and achieve the perfection. Of course, it's very impossible in this age, practically impossible. Very rare souls. And then shuddha bhakti, unmixed pure devotional service. And finally, factor that determines the soul's destination when it leaves the body. What are the factors that determine? So, in the first four, Krishna answers the question. And 5 to 8, how to remember Krishna at the time of death. And from 9 to 13, he talks about through meditation, through yoga practice, how to cultivate remembrance of the Lord always. And in the next, how pure devotional service, natural through devotion, we can remember Krishna always. And in the last section, last but one, comparing the material and the spiritual world. Why should we actually go back home? Why can't we stay in this world? Why can't we move to a better area in the material world? Why not move from Dharavi to Nepensi Road? You know, the whole goal of Dharavi people is to move to Nepensi Road. That's the perfection of their life. And from there, somebody wants to go to America, probably. From there, somebody wants to go to the moon. Always they are looking at some better person and moving, trying to move, thinking that that situation will actually solve my problems of my life. But when you go there, he also has his own anxiety. Even Indra has his own anxieties. Ultimately, he says, kahin nahi rehna, he says, aisa jagah hai kya kuch? One, Prabhuji, here he was inspired by a film song. He came to Krishna consciousness. Upendra Prabhu. He heard a film song which says, Aachal ke tujhe main leke chalun ek aise gagan ke tale jahan gam bhi na ho aansu bhi na ho bas pyar hi pyar. Now this devotee heard this. He was living in somewhere in Santa Cruz. He was about to go and commit suicide actually. He was thinking, I am going to commit suicide in the railway track. On the way, there was Ganesh Puja festival going on. He heard this. And he said, Sachmuch mein aise gagan hai kya? Jahan gam bhi na ho, aansu bhi na ho, bas pyar hi pyar. So he went back. In his building, there was a person who was working in the film industry. So he asked him, kisne likha ye song? I want to meet the fellow. Hey, bola, aisa thodi hota hai. Nee. Said, I want to meet this person. He wrote the song. He said, find out. Then he found out the person who wrote this song. Then he told his friend, please go and ask him where this place is. So that friend of him asked. He said, अरे वो पागल है मैं तो पागल में कुछ तो लिख दिया पागल पर इसको थोड़ी गंभीरता से लेते गाओ बस बट दिस पर्सन टुक इट वेरी सीरियसली नो देयर मस्ट बी ए प्लेस लाइक दिस एंड समहाउ ही हैपेंड टू कम मेनी इयर्स लेटर एज ही वॉक्ड इनटू राधा गोपीनाथ मंदिर समबडी वाज रीडिंग न तत भासते सूर्यो Nashashanko na pavaka. He's describing about this shloka about the spiritual world where there is no anxiety, no only love. He said, wow, at last Krishna brought me to the right place. So, Upendra Prabhu, please forgive me for quoting this. Here he is, wonderful counselor, guiding so many people and to go to that Gagan Ketale. So, Krishna, in this particular chapter, describes about such a place. Yad gatvana nivartante tad dhama paramam mama. Upendra Prabhu, everyone wants to see you. Please stand up for 1 second. Okay. Little later, he's feeling shy. So, yeah, can we go down? Again. So he answers, how he answers, what is Brahman? Brahman is the indestructible living entity, adhyatma, karma, adhibhuta, adhidaiva, adhiyagya. All of these he replies, what exactly? And then, next, he takes up the last one, prayana kale pichamam, te viduryukta chetasa. So at the time of death, how one can remember me? That's very important, and that's the essence of the 8th chapter, because it says, antakale cha mam eva smaran muktva kalevaram yah prayati samadbhavam yati nastitra samshaya. Antakale, at the time of death, mam eva smaran, Krishna says, if they remember me, muktva kalevaram, and then he gives up the body, yah prayati, one who begins his journey in this way, sa madbhavam yati, he attains to my nature, he attains to my abode. Na asti atra samshayaha. There is no doubt about it, O Arjun. At the time of death, if he can think of me, if he can remember me. So somebody may say, wow, is it so simple? I'll do all nonsense and just before dying, Hare Krishna. But it's actually not possible. It is impossible. Because during the time of death, it is so painful. Whatever has been our consciousness, whatever has been our priority, whatever has been our focus of thought throughout, predominantly in our life, naturally surfaces to the top at the time of whatever has been most dear to us throughout our life. That thing will naturally emerge and occupy our mind and consciousness at the time of death. It is natural. Therefore, Krishna says, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam chajityante kalevaram tam tame vaiti kaunteya sadatat bhava bhavita. We have a history of Bharat Maharaj, a very high devotee who achieved almost the stage of bhava. Madbhavam yati, Krishna is telling. He achieved that stage of bhava, renounced everything at a very early age, went to the forest, performing deep meditation and on love of God, developed actually. Happened to develop an attraction to the deer. The deer became more dear to him than Krishna. The deer would come and lick his hand, and he protected the deer, saved the deer from dying. Therefore he became so attached that eventually in madness he will always be thinking about the deer, protection of the deer. And eventually when he died one day, when the deer actually was not to be found, he went looking in search, fell into a valley and about to give up his body and remembered the deer. And sure enough, in his next life he came as a deer. But because by Krishna's inconceivable mercy, he left his deer colony and went into the Rishi's ashram where he used to stay, eat dry grass and just listen to him. And his next life he became Jad Bharat. And as they say in Hindi, Dood ka jala chhas bhi phook ke pita. He was so careful not to fall into Maya again. Even an ant would come, he would not step. He would just stop. He acted like a dull person, even though he was most realized. Acted as a dull person, so that again he won't get entangled. Extra careful. And he achieved the perfection of life. So we find whatever has been our main occupation or focus or priority throughout our life naturally emerges and occupies our consciousness at the time of death. So Krishna brings out that fact here. And therefore, in the verses, next verses, in that next word he says, Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhyacha mayarpita manobuddhir mame vaishyasi asamshayah. Very important. This verse, I would say, for everyone who is a householder, must read this particular verse, 8.7. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. And please hear to Srila Prabhupada's purport. This instruction to Arjuna is very important for all men and women engaged in material activities. The Lord does not say that one should give up his prescribed duties or engagements. One can continue them and at the same time think of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. This will free one from material contamination and engage the mind and intelligence in Krishna. By chanting Krishna's names, one will be transferred to the supreme planet Krishna Loka without a doubt. So 8.7 is a very, very practical verse that Krishna is telling. Mam anusmara yudhyacha. You think of me, but you fight. You are a warrior, you have to fight. This balance is very important and requires a lot of maturity and guidance. How to balance our material responsibilities and not get so much involved that we fall off. It's like walking, it's like tightrope walk. If you go on one side, too much spirituality, material responsibilities are given up, you fail in your duty. Too much material life, forgetting the spiritual, you fall off. Burden on any one side. Proper balance. It's like driving a car. While driving a car, one should never forget, where am I going? Destination should never be forgotten. Suppose a man is driving from Bombay to Pune. He should know, I am going to Pune. At the back of the head, he should know. Otherwise, whichever road is empty, we'll take that road. This is too much traffic. This road is so nice. We should never forget where we are headed. But at the same time, you can't be watching Pune and driving. You have to watch in front of the road. You have to watch what is the signal and who's coming in front and who is with me and whether the tire has air and the tank has petrol or whatever. You have to be careful, I mean, thinking about all of these things so that we can actually move till their destination. So, the soul's destination is the lotus feet of the Lord. And the body has to perform all the responsibilities. But in such a way that it is complementary or it is adjusted in such a way that it doesn't take us away from the proper path to achieve the destination or the goal. And then from text 9 to 13, he's talking about how to think of the Lord and so many different ways. I don't want to go into detail because of lack of time. You can refer to that. But he's talking about Yoga Mishra Bhakti. How you have to sit in a particular spot and think and, you know, how you have to meditate on the Lord in different qualities of the Lord, etc. has been described. But they seem quite difficult for people of Kali Yuga, especially living in cities. You know, just standing in the train is a big yoga. That will put all yogis of Himalayas to shame. Hanging at a particular angle for 1.5 hours. That yoga itself is enough. Or sitting in the car from one end of the city to other, you know, stiff. That itself is, that posture itself is, you know, enough. So where is the question of doing everything else? It's very, very difficult. And therefore, Krishna, in the verse between 14 to 16, very, very, it's such a solace for those who can't perform difficult yoga practices. He says, Ananya chetaha satatam yomam smarati nityashaha tasyaham sulabhah partha nitya yuktasya yoginaha. For one who always remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O son of Pritha, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. Engagement in devotional service and remembering the Lord without deviation. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this material world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Hare Krishna, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated through his wonderful devotees and himself how one can be in the world and simultaneously practice this. Haranam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalau, Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyatha. You see amongst his devotees, they are the recent Mahajans. There are 12 Mahajans, ancient Mahajans. Then there are the modern Mahajans. Ancient means before Mahaprabhu. Modern means after Mahaprabhu. If you read the lives of the instructions that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to his renunciates, disciples, and his grahastha disciples, we understand, because they were like us just 500 years ago, practically living in the situation that most of us are living. Maybe slightly better, different, but much more able to relate. He gave them practical instructions how to live in this world and simultaneously achieve perfection. And the most recent Mahajan is Srila Prabhupada. How he lived, how he practiced, how he instructed, what he instructed. So practical for us, absolutely down to earth. You don't have to speculate. If Mahaprabhu were to be there, what would have told me? No. In parampara, you receive that same message, fresh and relevant to us. Therefore, we have to hear from the immediate acharyas, that the most relevant, most fresh and most appropriate for us, because they have digested and presented according to time, place and circumstance. And then, can you go to the next one? From 17 to 22, Krishna is describing the futility of staying in the material world. Forget about going to the heavenly planets. Even if you go to Brahma Loka, it's all temporary. Don't stay there, Arjun. Don't even desire to go there. Don't have to even go. Think of going there. Realize, Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartin Arjuna. They are all created and destroyed. Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate. Yes, you may live for thousands of years, millions of years, but eventually you have to grow old, get diseased and die. Why do you want to go to a place where eventually you'll be kicked out? Better go to a place where you can eternally live for all time, happily, blissfully. So that indication is given in these verses from 17 to 22. Those of you who were here on Sunday, I shared with you that story about Padmalochan Das, this Christian priest who happened to read this Bhagavad Gita. He picked up the book at 8 p.m., ended it at 6 a.m., closed the book, packed his luggage and wanted to come. He came to the temple and he said, I want to join. Do you teach this book? I said, yes. So what do you teach? I want to stay here. I'll do any service. They said, most welcome. He's the initiated devotee, Padmalochan, very, very sober, very refined gentleman. And I asked him, in 10 hours, what did you find so absorbing, so much? You have read so much scriptures. He said, I read so many scriptures. I said, what did you find in this book that made you leave everything, pack up and join the temple actually to understand or to take up the study of this book so seriously? He said, two things. One, God is ultimately a person. Not a distant reality, not some burning bush, not just some light, not some, you know, vague conception. He is a person, completely transcendental, supreme personality of Godhead. And secondly, activities of Lord in the spiritual world are explained. How his dealings are there in the spiritual world. He descends in the material world along with his associates to manifest those. Just to, like a trailer. Sometimes in the movie, they show the next movie's trailer. Just to inspire and attract people to come for that 17 reel movie. So Krishna performs once in a way, dharma samsthapanarthaya. He comes and does whatever is necessary. But real thing is, janma karma chame divyam. His activities are so sweet in relationship with devotees. Anyone who hears wants to go there. Wants to qualify himself. Make himself deserving to actually reach that place. Desiring to reach that place. So, the description of spiritual world is there. And Gita is a law book. And Srimad Bhagavatam is a law journal. In a law book, hardcore philosophy is there. Statements are made, philosophical statements, legal statements. But in a law journal, incidents are described which explain the application of the law. Similarly, Bhagavad Gita, there is no story in the Bhagavad Gita. Hardcore philosophy. Every statement is a sutra. But Srimad Bhagavatam contains history from the different universes, from this universe, from all different time frame, how people practiced and got the benefit, how people did not practice, and how they lost their opportunity. What they did, we should not do, and what these people did, what we should do to actually achieve perfection. That's what Bhagavatam is all about. And there in the third canto, description of the Kumaras where they go to the spiritual world. The spiritual world is described. How are the trees there? How are the plants there? How are the birds there? How are the insects there? How are the people there? What is their consciousness? What is their attitude? What is their lifestyle? It's amazing. Third chapter, third canto, 15th chapter. Description of the kingdom of God is the title of the... Please, I will recommend you, if you don't have, buy Bhagavatam also. And right now, if you want to buy an installment, buy third canto first. And read the 15th chapter, description of the kingdom of God. Amazing. First hand commentary. Aankhon dekha hal. The Kumaras are describing, they saw, they went to meet the Lord, crossed the seven gates and saw the spiritual world. No one has any desire of sense gratification. They all are wanting to please the Lord. That is the topmost priority. Though they are surrounded by wonderful opulence. And everyone is absolutely non-envious. They simply want to glorify the others. They think themselves the most insignificant menial servants. Even the cuckoo bird, which sings so beautifully in the spiritual world, becomes silent when the bee comes and buzzes for the pleasure of the Lord, thinking, oh, he's a better devotee, I should keep quiet. But here, even a donkey thinks himself a most melodious singer. Even his braying he considers so sweet. That's the nature of this world. So, a description of the spiritual world, a sample, just a sample, is given in the 8th chapter from 17 to 22nd verse. And the more we discuss, the more we want to go there, isn't it? इफ यू कीप डिस्कसिंग सम टॉपिक, अरे क्या जगह है, शुड गो टू मायापुर, शुड गो टू मायापुर. प्रभु जी कहां है मायापुर, कितना लगता है टिकट, कहां से लेना, व्हाट इज द, व्हिच इज द ट्रेन, व्हिच इज द, हंड्रेड्स ऑफ पीपल कीप टॉकिंग हंड्रेड्स ऑफ टाइम, मायापुर मायापुर, क्या क्या है भाई मायापुर. सिमिलरली हंड्रेड्स ऑफ पीपल कीप टॉकिंग अबाउट अ मूवी, कौन सा मूवी, आई वांट टू गो. इट डिपेंड्स वॉट वी डिस्कस कंटेंट्स, यू वॉन्ट टू गो देर, यू वॉन्ट टू सी दैट, यू वॉन्ट टू बी ए पार्ट, यू डोंट वॉन्ट टू लूज आउट ऑन समथिंग एवरी वन इज रिलिशिंग एंड एंजॉइंग. एंड इन द लास्ट सेक्शन आफ्टर डिस्क्राइबिंग दैट द सुप्रीमेसी ऑफ प्योर डिवोशनल सर्विस, शुद्ध भक्ति टू अचीव कृष्ण is very nicely described. And there it says, the last verse I would like to just read. It says, for a yogi, he has to leave during 6 months of Uttarayana. That means from Jan to June. Yeah, if he dies in September, he'll come back. Between January 14, Sankranti, to June, he has to die. He has to die at daytime. After sunset, if he dies, he has to come back. He has to be chanting Omkara. He has to close all the 9 gates. If one of the gate is open, security is not there. Somebody can come in or your soul can go out. And you have lost the opportunity, you will come back. So many things. After hearing, you get scared. But for a devotee, I would like to read last 2 verses of 8th chapter. Although the devotees know these 2 paths, there are 2 paths. One is the path of yoga and all that, you know, this time and not this time, at this day and not in the night, and at this time and chanting this mantra with this great closed and all that. Although the devotees know these 2 paths, O Arjuna, they are never bewildered. Therefore, be always fixed in devotion. A person who accepts the path of devotional service is not bereft of the results derived from studying the Vedas, performing austere sacrifices, giving charity or pursuing philosophical and fruitive activities. Simply by performing devotional service, he attains all these and at the end, he reaches the supreme eternal abode. A devotee may die fighting on the battlefield, but if he is fighting on behalf of the Lord, for the pleasure and satisfaction of the Lord, on the instruction of the Lord, as soon as he dies, he goes back to the spiritual world. Whoever that person is, a warrior, a doctor, an engineer, housewife, a student, whoever, if he is dedicating that service, that ability, that facility, whatever, in Krishna's service, in pure devotion, under proper instructions, then, wherever he dies, some people say, "Raat ko sote sote gujar gaye, shanti se gujar gaye." It is not shanti. Impossible. You can't die peacefully even at the time of death, even if you are dying in the sleep, because the fact is, to the extent you are attached to the body, when it is plucked out, you will feel immense pain. Whether externally it is shot or blasted or die peacefully, so-called peacefully in sleep. If you are attached to something, you have to be torn out to separate that. But if you are already detached, it's like lightning and thunderbolt. How the lightning comes and thunderbolt passes. You are in the spiritual world. You just like close your eyes and open and you are in the spiritual world. Are you? हो गया, नाटक खत्म हो गया, वापस आओ. नारद मुनि डिस्क्राइब्स तडित सौदामिनी यथा बिग थंड, फर्स्ट लाइटनिंग कम्स एंड देन थंडरबोल्ट, लाइक दैट डेथ इमीडिएटली यू गेट अ स्पिरिचुअल बॉडी. व्हाई? बिकॉज एक्चुअली ही इज ऑलरेडी अ लिबरेटेड सोल. 24 बॉडी माइंड एंड वर्ड्स इज एंगेज इन डिवोशनल सर्विस ओनली इन दिस मटीरियल बॉडी एंड next moment he has a spiritual body to engage in spiritual activity in the spiritual world. It's very simple. If to the extent we are attached, to that extent death is painful. Right? If you are attached to a house and you have to suddenly leave, you keep looking back. All kitna achha tha. Ye bed ko chhodna padega. Ye dabba bhi yahi rakhna padega. We don't want to, right? It's like subtly being pulled and torn. But you know, it's all used for Krishna. Krishna, you want me to serve in another situation, another place, with another facility? Hari Bol. Of course, so easy to say, but not so easy to do that. Bhishma did that. Bhishma Pitama did that. Just, all right, my Lord. Pleasingly just looking. What a way to pass away. Haridas Thakur, what a way to pass away. The most ideal. They demonstrated. Out of his humility, Bhishma waited for all the time. But ultimately, he didn't care about all these things. He wanted to see Krishna face to face. Krishna, knowing him, came there, right there. Haridas Thakur, when Mahaprabhu came to know Haridas is leaving, personally he came, brought all his devotees, chanted and danced. Personally saw him off. Personally performed his last rites. Jatayu died. Lakshman performed his final rites. He didn't perform for Dasharath. He performed for Jatayu. Sent him back to Godhead the same day. Jatayu didn't plan, you know, which, you know, Sankranti or what it is and what it is. Closing the breath. Nothing. Yeah, Ram. In the service of Lord Ram, he just left his body. He attained perfection that very day. So, a devotee is confident of Krishna's protection. Therefore, he doesn't make any special endeavor for his salvation. In fact, Prahlad Maharaj prays in Srimad Bhagavatam. My Lord, Narsingadeva asks, you want to come back to the spiritual world? He says, no, sorry, I have no time for that. My Guru Narada Muni has asked me to engage in devotional service. I want to engage in his devotion. Till one fool and rascal is rotting in this world, I want to stay here. Then I will come. Only when Narada Muni gives me permission. Jananivas Prabhu, when he had come here, you know, he was giving a brahmachari class and one devotee asked, Prabhuji, what about Bhava platform, you know? Bhava. Adav Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishtha. These are all sadhana bhakti. Then comes Bhava bhakti. So Bhava. How do we achieve Bhava? So Jananivas Prabhu looked at him as in, what Bhava? Isko jyada Bhava mat do. He said, forget about Bhava. That's not your, none of your business. Your job is to continue to serve. It's Krishna's business. When to give Bhava and when to take you. How to do that. Don't worry about going back. You worry about how to serve him nicely here. How to follow his instructions. How to please him. How to love him. How to serve him. It is his responsibility. It's his headache. How to do, what to do with us. We don't have to worry about Bhava. He will give Bhava when we need it. When it is necessary, he will give Bhava. It was such a simple but such a profound answer. A devotee, he has achieved it, but still he feels he doesn't have. And he's simply saying that, I simply want to serve you, my Lord. I'm insignificant. I need to rot in this world. That's his humility. A devotee's humility. Anyway, so talking about these things, next, Krishna moves to the 9th chapter. And we will also try to move quickly because we have two chapters to cover. What is the connection between these two chapters? In chapter 8, Krishna explained that Ananya devotee, Ananya Chetaha Satatam, Yomam Smarati Niti. Ananya. Anya means other, and Ananya means no other desire other than pleasing me and serving me. So such an Ananya devotee achieves me. So he surpasses the path of light and darkness. Now Krishna will explain how to become such a devotee. How to become Ananya devotee. Chapter 8 concludes that bhakti is the best form of yoga. Chapter 9 supplies the specific knowledge required for performing that most confidential yoga. Specific knowledge. And therefore, chapter 9 is actually the most important. The most important chapter. Because here, amongst the 6 chapters of the center, the centermost chapter is this part, 9th and 10th. And the end of 9th and the beginning of 10th are the most, the essence of the essence of the essence. That is being discussed. Therefore, 9th and 10th beginning. Gita is the essence of all the Vedic literature. The middle 6 chapters are the essence of Bhagavad Gita. And the end of 9 chapter, the beginning of 10 chapter, the 4th shloka, chatushloki Bhagavad Gita, are the essence of the essence of the essence. So please listen very attentively. Chapter 7 and 9 are virtually identical. Chapter 8 can be seen as a tangent in conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, clearing up some important points before continuing in the same line. 7 and 9 are practically similar, but 9 reveals much more confidential detail. That's why it is called Raja Vidya Raja Guhya Yogo Nama Navamodhyaya. King of all knowledge, king of all confidential knowledge, secrets. So there are few sections. Let's go to the first section. Yeah. Again, as in the 7th chapter, it was described about hearing. Here also, most important, Krishna stresses on hearing. Idam tute guhyatamam pravakshami anasuyave jnanam vijnana sahitam yaj gyatva mokshase ashubhat. To relieve yourself from all inauspicious things of birth, old age, disease and death. Idam tute guhyatamam. It is the most confidential knowledge. Guhya tamam. Guhya means confidential. What is confidential? We are not the body, we are the soul. This is very confidential knowledge. Many people don't know. Big, big professors don't know. That we are not the body, we are the soul. How the soul can liberate oneself from the cycle of birth and death through different paths of yoga. This is more confidential knowledge. But actually, the liberated activity of pure devotional service, internal most loving reciprocation with the Lord and His devotee, is the most confidential knowledge. Therefore, this chapter is called Raja Vidya and Raja Guhyam. It is most confidential knowledge. Again, somebody may say, it is available, you are selling it for 80 rupees discount. How you can say it is most confidential? Any person who reads this can understand. No, sorry sir. You can't understand. You can't understand the Gita simply by reading. If you do not have this qualification. Arjuna, you can understand because idam tute guhyatamam pravakshami anasuyave. You are not envious of me. This envy is the root cause of coming into this world. The original sin was committed because of envy. I want to be Krishna. One super, you know, pop star. He was given Krishna book with the picture of Radha and Krishna embracing. That picture is there. He said, wow, who is this young lady? He said, my picture should be here. He said, showing Krishna. He said, you know, I should remove it and put my picture here. Everything should is meant for my enjoyment. I am the controller, proprietor and enjoyer. This desire to be the center of universe and to receive all attention and respect and enjoyment is so deep rooted that if we see anyone, what to speak of Krishna? People burn with envy if you say Krishna. It's because they see Krishna is dancing with so many women. Hey, if I dance with one, you already criticize me. And he dances with million and millions of people since time immemorial. Jai Ho Bhagavan, Jai Ho Krishna, Hare Krishna. They can't tolerate this. If I enjoy, you chastise me. Krishna also says, don't do that, huh? Don't enjoy. And he enjoys. And everyone worships him. That is too much. If he doesn't, if nobody worships him, okay. Everyone worships him. And since time immemorial, in spite of the fact that he did all kinds of things which was all very difficult to understand. Sab unke baare mein tedha hi raha hai. Khade hote hai bhi to tedhe. Bolte bhi hai to tedhe. Kaam bhi tedhe. Aur humko kehte seedha saadha banao. You know, the envy is because and when you are envious, when you hear, the more you hear about Krishna, the more it adds fuel to the fire. And the nature of envy, when you are envious of someone, even if he performs a great task, you have a tendency to minimize it. When Kamsa was told, Krishna, the little Krishna, lifted Govardhan Hill. Ek koi patthar uthaya hoga, kya tum log bada chada ke bol rahe. He killed the Kalya. Are koi water snake ko mar diya hoga, chod. He actually said, he killed a little water snake and then he lifted a little rock and therefore you're going to keep quiet. Don't glorify Krishna. As Ravana couldn't tolerate, Ram, 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 chup. Amisha Ram Ram karta. They can't tolerate. The nature of envy is even the greatest act done by the opposing party whom we are envious, we want to minimize it and reduce it to an insignificant. And the nature of love is even if Krishna does something small, kya kya kya? Arre kuch nahi kya kya kya? But kya kya? Kya bola? He said something. Kitna sundar bola. Kitna achcha se kiya. Even if he does something small, you want to glorify it, you want to not exactly exaggerate, but enjoy it and relish it by speaking about it again and again and again. That's the nature of love. And the nature of envy is to minimize and reduce and finish and destroy completely. Kill completely. And they can't kill, obviously, Krishna. They have no power. Earlier demons had power to fight with Krishna. Now they have their pen. Krishna is dead. God is dead. They write this literature and distribute. From Bhagavad Gita, they kill Krishna and take away Krishna. Krishna means the unknown. Krishna means black. Black means unknown. Unknown means whole and something like that. Somehow they speculate. So unless we remove the envy from the heart, this most confidential knowledge, though so simple, will always elude us, will never be accessible. We have to love. Why not enjoy? He is coming and performing this not to become the center of attraction, simply to invite us. If a millionaire comes and tells a beggar on the street, Baba, my millionaire, aa jana mere ghar. Millionaire, apne ko kya samajhta hai, chup ja. Are, I am a millionaire. I'm telling you. I don't need to tell you, but I'm telling you because come, I can provide whatever you want. Come on, don't be so proud. Apana bajar hai both. No, Krishna is telling. Aham sarva sarva matta sarvam parvartate. Everything comes from me. Please come. He's telling as much as necessary for us to understand and come to him. But we think, oh, he's blowing his own trumpet. Then he says, Rajavidya, this is the king of all knowledge. Because knowledge means to solve problems. We have so much knowledge in this world. Libraries are full of so many branches of knowledge. But problem continues in this world. Birth, disease, old age, death, miseries caused by body and mind, natural disturbances, other living entities, torturing us, always continuously troubling us. What is the use of all that knowledge, all the books? But this knowledge, as Krishna says, as Arjuna says, simply remembering this knowledge relieves me from all sufferings and all anxiety, all misery, and eventually from the entanglement of the cycle of birth and death. So wonderful. This is real knowledge. This is the king of all knowledge. Meaning, without this knowledge, all other knowledge is zero. And if you have no other knowledge, if you have this knowledge, you have everything. That's why Krishna, Prabhupada gave the example of the boatman and the pandit. Big scholar. And he's crossing the boat and he says, you don't know geography, 50% of his life is waste, this is waste, that is waste, 99% of your life is waste. And when it starts raining and the boat is drowning, the boatman asks humbly, Panditji, terna aata hai kya? This is one thing I did not know, 100% is waste. Because we are floating in this river of material existence, and even this boat of human body will eventually perish. The only thing that we can help us swim across is this transcendental boat of knowledge. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita itself, Santarishyasi. What is that sloka? Yathaidham samiddhog nirbhasmasa jnanagni sarva. No. Jnanam plavenaiva brijinam santarishyasi. Jnanam plavenaiva. This Bhagavad Gita knowledge is compared to a boat which will help us cross over the cycle of birth and death. Swim across. That is why this is called Rajavidya, the king of all knowledge. If you have this one knowledge, even if you are an Anguta chap, no problem. This is the king of all knowledge, Rajavidya. And then, Ashraddhanaha Purusha Dharmasyasya Parantapa Aprapyamam Nivartante Mrityu Samsara. There are two paths. Apavarga Vartmani and Mrityu Samsara Vartmani. Vartmani means direction. Our human life has two gates. One gate upward and one gate downward. And what is the gate which downs, opens the gate to hell? Mrityu Samsara Vartmani. Ashraddhanaha Purusha. If they have no faith in this knowledge. And Satam Prasanga Mamavirya Samvido Bhavanti Hritkarna Rasayana Katha Tad Joshanad Ashu Apavarga Vartmani Shraddha Ratir Bhakti Anukramishyati. But if we have Shraddha, if we have faith, that opens a gate to the kingdom of God. How to acquire this faith? Two, by associating with those who have faith. Faith begets faith. By keeping it as a top priority to associate with those souls who have deep faith in this process, or at least better than us. And secondly, to scrutinizingly study the scriptures where lives of those great souls is described in great detail, who exhibited tremendous faith in the scriptures, in the Lord, under all negative situations and circumstances, temptations, distractions, obstacles, but they demonstrated tremendous faith. Lives of Dhruva Maharaj, life of Prahlad Maharaj, life of Haridas Thakur, khanda khanda hoy deha jai jadi pran, tabu ame vadane na chadi harinam. You may cut my body to pieces, but you can't stop me from chanting the holy name of the Lord. Intelligence has two functions. Two diseases, so to say, to begin with. Two diseases. The first is doubting. Sachmuch mein hai kya? Really? Doubting. That is a sign of intelligence, actually, third canto says. Only intelligent people doubt. Fool accept everything as it is. So you should doubt. But having heard from bona fide authorities, still if you doubt, you're a rascal. So doubting is good. But doubting becomes disease even after hearing from proper authorities. Still if you doubt, that is foolishness. One disease. The second disease is, in spite of knowing, lack of determination. And how is it overcome? By, in the association of devotees, scrutinizingly studying scriptures. Krishna, Arjuna heard the Gita and then he said, Nashto moha smitir radha tvat prasadat maya chuta sthitosmi gata sandehaha. Now all my doubts are finished. Bhidyate hridaya granthi chidyante sarva samshaya. If we hear Bhagavatam every day, all our doubts will go away. And vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kurunandana. Our determination to pursue on the right path. First of all, to determine what is right. And after determining, to stay on the path requires a lot of determination. Mind is very powerful. I like, I don't like. Today is not good. Tomorrow will start. But intelligence should beat the mind. Beat the mind with shoes early in the morning 100 times. And before going to bed with a broomstick 100 times. Beating it with intelligence. Nothing doing. Just follow. Just obey. Then in the next section, after telling, have faith, because now what I'm going to tell you, Arjun, is the very, very difficult to understand. This knowledge is impossible to understand unless you have faith. Fourth and fifth verse of the ninth chapter. Very, very confidential. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyaktamurtina. Matsthani sarva bhutani nachaham teshwavastitaha nachamatsthani bhutani pashyame yogamaishwaram bhutabhrannacha bhutastho mamatma bhutabhavanaha. In other words, what Krishna is telling is, for example, if I say, I am this room. I am spread all over this room. The room is inside me. I am outside the room and the room is not me. Kuch to gadbadi hai Prabhu ji ko. Abhi tak theek the. Abhi tak Bhagavad Gita bol rahe the. Bechare. But when Krishna says, we don't say that. We say, wah! Jai Ho Maharaj. Why? Maya tatamidam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina. In my unmanifest form, I am all pervading. There is no place when I am not there, Arjun. Matsthani sarva, everything, the whole creation is within me. Matsthani sarva bhutani. Nacha aham tesho, but I am outside of all of them. And then he says, nacha matsthani bhutani. But I am not within all of them. Pashyame yogameshwaram. Just see my mystic power. Yogeshwar, that's why it's called Yogeshwar. If anyone else says this, we'll put him in mental hospital. But Krishna not only spoke, he actually demonstrated every statement. Maya tata is a universal form. When he showed his Virata Rupa in the 10th chapter, if we have time, we'll discuss. He showed how he's all pervading throughout the creation. Through his Brahman effulgence, he's all pervading. Brahmanohi pratishtham. And everything is situated within him. He opened his little tiny mouth and showed to Mother Yashoda how the whole cosmic manifestation is within him. And he showed it to the Brajavasis that I am not here. I am in the spiritual world. You are also going to come and reside with me there. I am completely beyond all of this. He is all of this. Everything is within him. He is outside of all of this. And he is not within all of this. Only Krishna can say this and get away with it. And attract our love. Attract our affection. How can a person do this? What's impossible for God? If something is impossible, then that's not God. Pashyame yogamaishwaram. Bhuta brahmacha bhutastho mamatma bhutabhavan. Who can understand this? Only the devotees of the Lord can understand this. Who are non-envious. Who take pleasure. Who glorify the Lord with love and devotion. Wow! Just see Krishna showing his old cosmic manifestation within the mouth of Mother Yashoda. And what does an ordinary person or impersonalist or atheist person think? Hey, kya nana nani ki kahani? Kya ye sab kya pad rahe ho tum log? Doesn't make sense. Just doesn't make sense. And This is Achintya Bheda Veda Tattva of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which he revealed. Next. But then, now he gives a range of people who differently try to, from the Duratmas to the Mahatmas, it's a big range of people. First range is Duratmas. And how are they described? Avajananti ma mudha manushim tanumashritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhutamahesh. Fools deride me when I descend in the human-like form, thinking me to be an ordinary person, not knowing my supreme dominion over all that be. They think him to be an ordinary person. Ah, oh Krishna, na? Born 93 kilometers southeast of Delhi, in some village called Vrindavan. Oh, Gwala. Thinking him to be an ordinary person, or a little extraordinary, did some very powerful, nice acts. Very diplomat, big diplomat, that's all. They can't accept him as a Supreme Lord. What is the result? Moghasha, all their hopes are shattered. Mogha karmano, all their endeavors turn futile. Mogha jnana, all their knowledge cannot solve the real problems of life. Rakshasim, asurim bhavam, prakriti mohinim shutah. They continue to rot in this material world because of lack of faith. But what about the top? Mahatmanastumam partha devim prakriti mashita. The Mahatmas understand the inconceivable power of Krishna. What is that inconceivable power? Described in the Ishopanishad. Purnamadaha, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamudachate, Purnasya, Purnamadaya, Purnamevava Shishate. The Lord is perfect and complete. Even though perfect and complete units come from Him, still He remains perfect and complete. Every unit is in and of itself perfect and complete. The philosophy seems imperfect and incomplete. But Krishna showed this. He expanded into millions of cowherd boys for Brahma. And actually everything went inside. Everything was Krishna. Again he went back and still he was the same Krishna. It's very difficult to understand Krishna's inconceivable. Even Brahma got bewildered. What to speak of us? We have only one head and that too imperfect. He has four and perfect ones. He could understand Veda in one more, first time, first repetition. So, that is the Mahatmas. Satatam kirtayanto maam yatantascha dridhavrataha namasyanta maam bhakta nitya yukta. So that is that category. Then he talks of in-between category. Jnana yajnena chapyante yajanto maam upasate ekatvena prithaktvena bahudha vishvatomukham. See, first category is Mahatma. The lowest category is Duratma. Don't believe at all. In between are some, you know, gray area category. First category are those Jnani, Jigyasu, Artharthi and Artha, which we described in the 7th chapter. Next comes this. Ekatvena, Prithaktvena, Bahudha. Prithaktvena and Ekatvena. The lowest is Ekatvena, above the materialistic people. Who is Ekatvena? Who think, I am God. And they worship themselves. One of our devotees said, he has a friend. His father every day prepares a nice aarti paraphernalia. And he goes and stands, puts it, and he has a curtain. He opens the curtain. And that curtain is covering a mirror. As soon as he opens the curtain, he blows the conch shell and starts the aarti. Aham Brahmasmi. He worships himself. I've seen another person also. He took me to his DT room. I said, where are the DT? No DTs. He had some triangles, pyramid triangles arranged. 5 plus 3. I said, what is this? This is 5 material nature, Bhumi, earth, water, fire, air, ether. Or anything you can consider, Mahabhuta, whatever you can consider. Then these 3 are mind, intelligence and ego. And on top is a little marble piece and then there is a crystal. He said, that's me. The pure me who has transcended the material nature. I never understood. How can you worship yourself? This is the... I thought generally, do they keep their photograph and worship? No. He had a very symbolic... Then he was doing this worship. I said, That was his deity room. Nothing else in the room. Only a few pyramids and one piece of iron and one crystal. So, ekatvena. At least they have some understanding that I am beyond this body. At least thanks to them. At least one thing is there. Then there is prithaktvena. Prithaktvena means different gods. That means so many demigods. They think all are one. At least they worship some authority. But they think this is a very little confused idea of who is God. They all think you are Krishna. This, everything is one. Then there is Vishvatomukham. The universal form of the Lord. Which is more materialistic, which we'll be discussing tomorrow in the 11th chapter. That is the next. From there comes those who worship Krishna out of desire or distress or whatever. They are very high comparatively. At least they come to the right place. And then, of course, the Mahatmas. And then, and after these description, in the last section, this is very important. Because this section, as I said, is the essence of the essence of the essence. The ninth chapter is the essence of the sixth, first chapters, which is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita, which is the essence of Vedic literature. But this section, why this section is very, very important? Because Krishna very mercifully is revealing the true glory of devotional service. How wonderful is this bhakti? How simple, how sublime, how safe, how sweet, how simple, and how foolish if you don't take it. Krishna is marketing compassionately. Paisa mat de baba, free me le ja, time nahi hai. So unfortunate. So it begins with Krishna saying, in the 26th verse, Patram Pushvam Phalantoya, one who offers me with love and devotion, a leaf, a flower, not even Patrani Pushpani, one leaf, one flower, a little water, a fruit. Yome Bhaktya Prajchati, if he offers me with love and devotion, Ashnami, I personally eat it. I'm not worried about the fruit or the flower. I am more concerned about the bhakti. Yume bhaktyat prayachati tadam bhakti pratam bhavagrahi janardana. He is more into the essence of what is the feeling with which you are offering. It's not what you offer. Of course, when you love, you want to offer the best. It's not that you have millions and then you offer one leaf. Krishna, be satisfied only one leaf. Because you told in the Gita, patram pushpam. A devotee out of love wants to offer the best to the Lord. But if you have nothing, it is so simple. Shabari offered a fruit that she wanted to make sure is the best. Krishna, Lord Ram accepted that. Sudama wanted to give something. He just collected after begging some chipped rice. Sudama didn't even offer it. Krishna snatched it and ate it. Grabbed it. Because he was after that love. Krishna just wants that. So universal, so simple, so easy, but so foolish that we feel that, you know, we have no time for it. And what is the benefit? So much beneficial. And then he says, if you do this, you will get out of bondage. You will get out of all these dualities of auspicious and inauspicious. And you will eventually be liberated and come to me. This process of bhakti yoga is most potent. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to change your dress. You don't have to change your hairstyle. You don't have to change your location from home to the temple or the Himalayas. You just have to change your heart. Change your consciousness. Spirituality is not a change of a dress or a whatever. It is a change of consciousness, a change of priority, change of heart. It's not what you do, why you do what you do, for whom you do, for whose pleasure are you doing what you're doing. It is so simple. And then he says, Apichet Suduracharo Bhajate Mamananya Bhak. Even if someone falls down by accident or by mistake, in any other process, if he falls down, he has to rise up again and, you know, take all the process. But Krishna says, even if by chance accidentally fall down, if he is properly situated, if he is sincerely steady in his devotion, he doesn't stop his devotional service, I consider him a saintly person. Even though people may criticize him, it is foolish, it's also offensive to actually criticize. But if a person is properly, continues to be properly situated and continues his devotional service, Krishna doesn't see those fall down. Krishna sees that part that he's steadily doing. He considers him sadhureva sammantavya, samyak vyavasito, if he is properly situated. Can you imagine? You can fall and still continue on. And then he says, even if he is no qualification, mami partha vipashitta, yepisyu papa yonayah, because of previous sinful reactions, he is born in a lowest, most disadvantageous position. Kirata, hunandra, pullinda, pulkasha, abhira, shumbha, yavana, khasadaya. You may wonder what I am speaking. These are the names of not fourth class, shudra, striyo vaishyasatha shudras. This is 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 12th, 13th, 14th class. Yenyecha papa, even lower than this, 20th class. Yada apashraya ashraya shuddhanti tasmai prabhavishnave namaha. But if they take shelter of the Lord or a sincere devotee, Krishna doesn't consider any of that. No material qualification. He sees only that one thing, one little good thing that is there. Like in Putana, a witch who had killed millions of children in Vraj, and she came to actually kill Krishna. But he saw, oh, she has come to feed me. She is like my mother. He ignored and purified all those things and took only the essence and gave her a position of mother in the spiritual world. Seeing the bright side. Otherwise, what hope we have as Kaliyuga creatures? And that same Krishna, when he comes as Mahaprabhu, Patita Pavana Hetu, Tava Avatar, Mosama Patita Prabhu Na Paiveya. So we'll stop here, and after the darshan, we will continue for 15 minutes, where I will 10 minutes basically, 10 chapters or 10 minutes. I will end in 10 minutes, 9 to 9, 10, and then we will end. Hare Krishna. So we'll have little kirtan now. After hearing this 9th chapter, Man Mana Bhav Mad Bhakto Madhyaji. So let us absorb our mind in thinking about Krishna and chanting His holy name and praying to Him to accept us to serve His lotus feet very nicely. Radhesham Prabhu, can you? And also he says how it is so potent that it can help us to transcend the dualities. And then he says in the next verse about how he is basically impartial. Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshosti na priya. But ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya maite teshu chapyaham. But one who is specially surrendered unto me, I am very partial to him. It's very difficult to resolve this contradiction. How can Lord be impartial and partial at the same time? But this is to prove that Lord is a person, just like a rich man. A very rich man may be charitably disposed to everyone, but to his own children, he may be very, very loving, extra. Or a tree, a wish-fulfilling tree, may give whatever people desire. But specifically to those who are completely under his shelter, the Lord goes beyond just a comparison of a wish-fulfilling tree. But yogakshemam vahamyaham. He personally takes care. This is the most confidential part. That Lord is a person. And there is most intimate, loving, sweet reciprocation with the Lord, which is so sweet, so nectarian, so enchanting. That one who knows this, even the joy of Brahman liberation, becomes insignificant and tiny. And that is what Krishna is wanting to offer to all of us. Only if we turn to Him, which is so simple. And Krishna concludes the ninth chapter with this beautiful verse that Radhishyam Prabhu sang now. Manmana bhavamat bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi yuktvaivam atmanam mat parayanah. This particular verse is repeated by Lord Krishna even in the end. The first part of it especially. Manmana bhavamat bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi satyam te pratijane priyosime. This is the most confidential part. This is the real treasure. So in the treasure chest, the treasure is inside, but the covering at the end, the handle is also made of special diamond. And these are the two shlokas. Manmana bhavamat bhakto and sarva dharman parityajya. Because Krishna, out of great compassion, his heart melting, after hearing the whole Gita, he may forget what I spoke in the ninth chapter, just to remind him. I said, but remember, you can decide what you want to do, but still, if you ask me, I would say do this. Man mana bhava mat bhakto. He repeats, this particular verse is repeated twice in the Gita. The essence in the heart and later in the end. Man mana, think of me always. Bhava mat bhakto, become my devotee. Madhyaji, worship me. Mam namaskuru, offer your obeisances unto me. Mame vaishyasi yuktvaivam atmanam mat parayana. If you completely remain absorbed like this, you will come to me without a doubt. And it is so simple. Prabhupada used to always quote this. Man mana. Very simple. It's very difficult to think of Krishna. Always think of Krishna. Of course, so simple but not so easy. Because we are not so simple. We are so complicated. Our mind is thinking of so many other things. Bhavamat bhakto, become my devotee. Rishikena Rishikesha, engage your senses. Madhyaji, worship, whatever facility God has given, use it to glorify the Lord. Mam namaskuru, simply bow down. The mind is engaged, the senses are engaged, the facilities are engaged, the ego is engaged in bowing down. That's why Rupa Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Manasa deha geha joki chumor arpilun tuvapade nanda kishor. So this is a very simple instruction. But the most sublime, the most confidential of all, 9.34. And he ends this chapter in this. And then, Krishna ends the ninth chapter with the imperative to fix the mind on Krishna, Manmana. Now, therefore, chapter 10 describes the Lord's opulence on which a devotee can fix his mind and how to remember him when we see opulent, powerful and beautiful things in this world. Basically, the more you hear the glories of someone, the more you fall in love. And the more you fall in love, it's not at all difficult to think of someone when you love someone. Isn't it? It's very difficult to not think of someone when you love someone. So, that is the connection. So, after Arjuna hears this, he asks, can we go? Yeah. So, conclusion of yeah. So there are different sections. I'll just quickly run through this. The first section is the first seven verses where Arjuna is asking, or rather Krishna on his own is saying, O mighty armed Arjuna, because you are my dear friend, for your benefit, I shall speak to you further, giving knowledge that is better than what I have already explained. How can it be more better than that? Merely, this will help you to think of me. And then he says, how the demigods, the great sages, they don't know my origin and opulence. In every respect, I am the source. He is the source. Aham adirhi devanam. Because he is the source, no one knows him completely. And one who knows me completely, he, undeluded among men, is freed from all sins. And then he says, how is the essence of everything? And finally, he concludes this particular section by telling, one who factually is convinced of this opulence and mystic power of mind engages in unalloyed devotion service of this, there is no doubt. If you, the more we know about the glory of Krishna, the more easy it is to think of him always. And therefore, in the next four verses, this is called Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita. Within four shlokas, the whole Gita is there. Just like Bhagavatam also is there, Chatushloki Bhagavatam. This is Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita. 10.8, 9, 10 and 11. So these two form the essence of the essence of the essence. 9 chapter 26 onwards and 10 chapter 8 to 11. And herein Krishna says, in the first one, basically three things he is telling. Who he is. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhav. I am the source of everything. Everything emanates from me. All that you see comes from me, is maintained by me, at the end comes back into me. In fact, there is nothing other than Krishna. In the sense, he and his energies. And in the second verse, he talks about the nature of his devotees. How do they reciprocate with him and with each other? Machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanticha ramanticha. So, eagerness of his devotees to love and serve him. Machitta, they always think of him. Madgata prana, their lives are dedicated to me. Bodhayanta parasparam, they enliven and enlighten each other by speaking about me amongst themselves. Kathayantascha mam nityam, they always discuss about me. In this way, tushyanti, they find satisfaction, and ramanti, this is their only enjoyment. They have no other enjoyment and satisfaction than discussing about me and taking pleasure in that. And then he says, okay, this is their reciprocation, the devotee's reciprocation. How does the Lord reciprocate with them? This is a very sweet, loving, personal exchange. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. Tesham satata yuktanam, those who are fully engaged in me, in my service, bhajatam priti purvakam, and they serve me favorably. Priti purvakam, with love. Kamsa was also thinking of Krishna 24 hours, but not favorably. But the gopis were thinking of Krishna favorably, to please him, to serve him, to satisfy him. Priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam. I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. And then he concludes this fourth verse by saying, to show them special mercy, I dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. The Lord who is seated in our heart, when he sees our eagerness with which we want to hear about him, from within, suhrid satam, because he is a well-wishing friend, from inside he removes all ignorance and gives us, lights our heart with a shining lamp of knowledge by which we can understand and actually surrender to him. So in this way, the Chatushloki Bhagavatam is explained. And in the last but one section, Arjuna accepts Krishna's position and requests to hear more of his opulences. This is this essence, Krishna said. And this particular section from 12 to 18 is very, very important. Srila Prabhupada quotes this even in the introduction. How we should accept the Bhagavad Gita. This is Arjuna, the first hearer of Bhagavad Gita. How did he accept? Why? Sometimes people ask, why do you call your Gita Bhagavad Gita as it is, as if others are not as it is? Why do you calling it as it is? Prabhupada gave the explanation. Who first heard the Gita when Krishna spoke? Arjuna. If his understanding coincides with your understanding, then you have understood the Gita right. If your understanding is not in accordance, in alliance, in alignment with what Krishna's and Arjuna's understanding, then it is not as it is. It is something else. So he says, what does Arjuna say? Param Brahma, परम धाम पवित्रम परमं भवान पुरुषम शाश्वतम दिव्यम आदिदेवम अजम विभुम. परम ब्रह्म, अहम ब्रह्मास्मि, यू आर ऑल ब्रह्मन, वी आर ऑल स्पिरिट, बट यू आर परम ब्रह्म, द सुप्रीम एब्सोल्यूट ट्रूथ. परम धाम, द अल्टीमेट शेल्टर ऑफ एवरी अदर थिंग्स. पवित्रम परमम, द सुप्रीमली प्योर. पुरुषम, यू आर द ओनली एंजॉयर. एवरीथिंग इज मेंट फॉर योर एंजॉयमेंट माई लॉर्ड. एवरीथिंग इज प्रकृति मेंट फॉर योर एंजॉयमेंट. भोक्तारम यज्ञ तपसाम. पुरुषम शाश्वतम, यू आर इटर्नल. दिव्यम, यू आर कंप्लीटली ट्रांसेंडेंटल. आदि देवम, यू आर द सोर्स ऑफ ऑल द देवतास. अजम अनबॉर्न, एंड विभूम द सुप्रीम ऑपुलेंट. एंड इट्स नॉट दैट आई एम योर फ्रेंड एंड देयरफॉर आई एम ग्लोरीफाइंग यू. इन कन्नड़ा देयर इज अ सेइंग, हागल काय के बेविन काय साक्षी. हागल काय मीन्स करेला, बिटर गोड, एंड नीम. They come together and neem tells the karela, how sweet you are. And karela tells the neem, you are no less. So sometimes among political circle we find two you know, notorious guys come together and each one glorifies the other as great people. So lest people might mistake, oh, Arjuna is his friend and therefore he is glorifying param brahma param dham, and you are telling you are also param devotee. No, I am not glorifying because you are my friend. Ahustvam rishayas sarve, all the great sages like Vyasdev, Devarshi Naradastatha, Asito Devalo Vyasaha Swayam Chaiva Bravishime. I am not saying just because you are my friend. All the great sages of the past have said Asita Devala Narada Vyasa, and now you yourself are saying this, my lord. I accept it very much. And then he says a very important verse, which is very, very important for us to understand. Sarvam etad ritam manye yan mam vadasi keshava nahite bhagavan vyaktir vidur devana danava. He says, sarvam etad ritam manye. Every word that you have spoken, I accept 100%. Not that I accept one part of the shloka and not the other part, because it is very difficult to digest for my intelligence. Unfortunately, there are so many Bhagavad Gita translations or propounders of the Bhagavad Gita who have not stuck to this principle, and therefore we don't accept their Gita. There are people who, while they have expressed that, like one great politician who always carried the Bhagavad Gita, we accept, very great soul, but still, but when we speak about the standard, this is the standard. He did not accept the fact that Krishna was in the battlefield of Kurukshetra and he caused the violence, because he was for non-violence. And therefore, he did not accept this particular part, that no, Krishna of Vrindavan was different from Krishna of Kurukshetra. How could Krishna engage in violence? And he could not subscribe to the fact that Krishna created the four Varnas. How can Krishna create discrimination? He didn't accept certain sections of the Bhagavad Gita. It was very difficult for him to digest. He was speaking, he couldn't subscribe to this view. We sometimes find some people say, no, only this part of Gita is okay, but this part is added later. No, all the great acharyas, Krishna is telling, and Arjuna accepted this as it is. So sometimes we half-hand logic, you know, we accept what is convenient to us and we give up what is very difficult for us to digest. But Arjuna didn't do this. He accepts sarvam etad ritam manye yan mam vadasi keshava. And then next he asks from 19 onwards, text 19 onwards to 42, he asks Krishna, please tell me in what different ways I can see you. And Krishna starts speaking about his opulences. Actually, it is not for Arjuna, but for dull-headed, forgetful people like us. How we can see this world and still remember Krishna? Just like when you love someone, anything in this world that reminds you of that person You see that and suddenly remember that person. Right? From some favorite color. You see that color and suddenly remember, oh, this person likes this color. So Krishna is telling through Arjuna to all of us, in our conditioned state where we have no love for Krishna, how we can see this world and still be attracted to Krishna and think of Krishna always. And there is a whole series of, and in this series, for those of you who are interested, please read it, 10th chapter, called The Opulence of the Absolute, Vibhuti Yoga. Vibhuti means opulence. And he takes a particular category, some category of all animals, of all mountains, of all rivers, of all trees. And he takes the best of them and says, I am that. I am that. That means, I am the essence of everything. If you are attracted to anything in this world, you are attracted because some opulence, some splendor, some glory is there. That glory is eventually coming from me. Know that if you are attracted to anything, that attraction is because part of the opulence of Krishna is manifesting through this person. How wonderful Krishna must be, the source of all these opulences. So he's so many. Among sages, I am Bhrigu. Among trees, I am the banyan tree. Among mountains, I am the Himalayas. Among all the chants, I am the chant of the holy name. Among elephants, I am Airavata. Among horses, I am Uchaishrava. I don't know if Krishna were to be speaking Bhagavad Gita in 2009. He would have said, among all the cars, I am BMW. Something like that. Probably. Among all the towers, I am the Eiffel Tower. So, the idea is, whatever seems very attractive, splendorous, beautiful, glorious, know it to be but a tiny splendor or tiny spark of my splendor. And in this way, when you see something wonderful, remember, if this tiny spark of God can exhibit so much wonderful that you are attracted, how much more the source of all attraction, that is Krishna, may be. And in this way, you can actually always think of Krishna. So, and in the last two verses, he concludes, after telling all this, he says, Arjun, how long can I go on about myself? My glories are unlimited. I can go on and on and on. Therefore, I will tell you a sample, the essence. He says, know that all opulent, beautiful and glorious creation spring from but a spark of my splendor. But what need is there, Arjun, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support the entire universe. And what is this single fragment? As Paramatma, which is his expansion in this world. With his Paramatma expansion, which is an insignificant, tiny expansion of his, he is supporting the entire universe. His glories are Ananta. In fact, Lord's another name is Ananta. Why? Because Ananta Namadheyaya. He has unlimited names. Advaita Machyutam Ananta Adyam Anadiru Ananta Rupam. He has unlimited forms in which he manifests. Dharma Samsthapanarthaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. He has unlimited qualities. He has unlimited pastimes. Everything about him is unlimited. Therefore, Ananta Shesh, since Ananta Kala, with his Ananta mouth, is trying to glorify and still not yet come to the end of the glories of the Lord. And in this way, this chapter concludes where Krishna, just so that right now we may not have love, we may not understand all this, but he gives us a tiny spark, how to be God conscious or Krishna conscious. Even within this world, whenever we see something that attracts us, right? Guinness Book of World Records always attracts. Longest nail, longest hair, longest this, biggest that, shortest this. Why all average people are not put there? Why only longest, smallest, biggest, tallest, shortest? Because something different attracts. Something extreme attracts. What to speak of the ordinary? So he says, everything is me. When you see that, of course, that is not Krishna. That is Mayavad. This is also Krishna. You see something beautiful. You are Krishna, I am Krishna. Let's embrace. No. When you see that, you say, if this is a tiny spark, and if this is so beautiful and attractive, so wonderful, how much more the original source must be? That should only help us to become attracted to Krishna. In this way, he concludes this section. But when he tells that, with a single fragment, I pervade this whole universe, Arjuna says, I want to see that form also. And then the 11th chapter, the Vishwarupa, the Virata Rupa, is described. So in this way, the 11th chapter will be spoken by Krishna tomorrow morning through his representatives. So, in essence, from 7th to 12th, where Krishna is speaking about himself from his heart to attract all the living entities to his loving devotion. Thank you very much. And welcome tomorrow. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki. Nithai Gaur Premanandi. Thank you very much.